right, so we are holding on Chof Tes Amud Beis, a little bit past the middle of the Amud. Okay, so to recap, we mentioned a Braisa. We started with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had said that most women give birth to actual babies, and therefore that if a woman miscarries and we're not sure whether there was an actual baby or not, so we said that her carbon can still be eaten because most women have blood mouth. In that connection, we brought a Braisa. Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina had brought a Braisa that seems to contradict that. A case where a woman had previously been pregnant. Now she comes back no longer pregnant. So obviously she gave birth or miscarried at some point, but she doesn't know when it took place. The Ramban learns that we are talking about, at least she knows that there was bleeding accompanying the birth. She's just not sure of the exact timing of it. So we're not sure whether that bleeding makes her Tomei as a Zava, or whether it doesn't, whether it's just part of the Tomas Yeledes, etc. Other Rishonim learn that it doesn't.
No impact on
well, it does, because if she's a Yeledes Bezoiv, then we have different rules.
No, but we judge it as a suffix.
No, the point is, in other words, that Ramban takes the view that if she says, I gave birth, but she says, I know that, but she doesn't know whether there was any blood with it, then we wouldn't worry about the din of Yeledes Bezoiv. Then we would assume that, like most women, it was probably fine. It was a regular birth accompanied by blood, but there was no bleeding before that would make her a Zalva, and therefore the din would be different in the Braisa that we're talking about. She would be a Yeledes. She'd have the 7 and the 14, but the din that we're talking about in the Braisa wouldn't necessarily apply. Many other Rishonim, that Ashba and other Rishonim, disagree with that, and they say that no, even if she doesn't know whether there was blood accompanying it or not, and still the same din. Anyway, we said the scenario is that now, after she comes with this report that I've been pregnant and now I'm not anymore, but she doesn't know when she came to the Beis Din to ask what to do, she had 3 weeks when she was Tahor, 3 weeks with no bleeding, including the day that she came.
After the delivery.
At some point previously, she had the delivery. She's not sure when it was.
After the delivery.
Yeah, yeah. So, but not necessarily right after.
No.
Right. So sometime, right. So now we have 3 weeks when there was no bleeding at all, and then during the following 10 weeks, she's alternating 1 week where every day there's bleeding and 1 day when there's not. So we said two things, the Braisa said. We said, number one, that she's only able to, out of that whole period, she's only able to have relations with her husband one time on the night of the 35th day, the night of the end of the fifth week, which we'll talk about soon, why. And Beit Shammai says during that whole period, she needs to total 95 times. We'll work out the calculation. And Basilus says 35, and Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda says that she only needs one at the end. So we'll discuss it. Okay, so we started saying like that the first week, the reason why she's also to have relations is because she might have given birth to a boy. The second week, because it might have been a girl. The third week, because it might have been Yeledes Bezoiv. It might have been that she was a Zava, and then after that she gave birth, and she needs to have 7 clean days before she's able, plus the 7 or 14. By the way, given that we're talking about over here, where the first three weeks, there's no bleeding, we're actually going to have a machlokas in the next perek. We're going to have a machlokas Abaye and Rava, which the Gemara explains depends actually on a machlokas Tanoim. Would we say, in a scenario like that, she was a Zava, then a few days later she gave birth. So we said that's called Yeledes Bezoiv. Now, if she bleeds during the 7 days for a boy or 14 for a girl, there's no question those can't count as clean days for her Ziva, because you obviously need clean days when there's no bleeding. But what happens if during those days there is no bleeding? Let's say she had a girl. So let's say she had a girl, she has 14 days of trauma, whether there was bleeding or not, even if it was what we call Leda Yavesta, a dry birth without any blood at all, the Zerithakos, if she's coming for 2 weeks. But let's say, during that 2 weeks, there could be 7 days in succession when there's no bleeding. Can those count as her 7 days of cleanness after the Ziva or not? So Machlokas Abaye and Rava in the next pair. And it's actually Machlokas are showing him which one of them the Halacha is like. Or Braisa takes the view that they don't. And therefore, no matter what, you're always going to need, if you have a suffix, whether she had a girl or whether she's a Zava, then she needs 3 full weeks when there's no bleeding at all. Two of them for the girl, two of them for the girl that it might have been, and one for the Ziva. So the question was, the reason why the question was brought up was on the face of it, the fourth week already, no matter what, whether it was a boy or whether it was a girl, either way, the fourth week is already during Dam Tohar, so she should be allowed to be having relations during that time.
Two weeks for a girl,
1 week for the Ziva, so the fourth week already, either way, no matter what, she's already in her Yemei Tohar, whether it was a boy or a girl, if we assume she had a baby, and yet we say that not. So obviously that means we don't go according to the Rav. So the answer is, as the answer is, the Gemara says, it's not really a particular question. Robin had said, I don't even understand why Rav Yosef of Chanina brought up the question, because in the case we're talking about over here, she doesn't even know when she gave birth. So she might have given birth weeks ago, and who you made Tumah and you made Tara already over. So that's why the Braitha would be telling us, therefore, that during the fourth week she can't have relations, because that might not be Dam Tohar at all. That might already be her, who you made Tumah and you made Tara. It might be just regular Nidda or Zava. Yeah, it might be regular Nidda or Zava, as the case may be. And then she needs 7 clean days. First of all, we had earlier in the Gemara, we had on Daf Yud Ches, in the second Perek, the Gemara had mentioned over there the possibility that maybe even this Braitha could be a proof of Yeshua ben Levi. Not only is it not a contradiction, but it could even possibly be used as a proof for him. Anyway, Tosfos points out that Yeshua ben Levi says you go according to the Rav. That most women, when they give birth to an actual baby. But Tosfos says over here, yes. So what was Rav Yosef of Chanina thinking? Why did he even bring up the question? Isn't it blatantly obvious from the Braitha that we're talking about the Hirchika Lejasa? So one thing is the Ran Hirchika Lejasa, that she might have given birth weeks ago, way before, and then yes. So the Ran wants to say that fine, maybe Rav Yosef of Chanina, who brought up the question, maybe he took the view. If you're going to say that most women give birth to an actual baby, which makes her tummy from Leda, by the same logic, most women also know when they gave birth, so it's not so likely that it could Leda. But still, okay.
It could happen.
It could, right. So it's not a particular question on Rav Yosef. Okay, so now let's start.
During the war times, it was possible
maybe,
they were so weak at the...
Could be, I don't know. Yeah, okay. All right.
Maybe not necessarily.
She might not necessarily be able to get traction. No, but the point is she might not know how long ago it was. Whatever. Yeah. So, okay. If it's in a wartime, if she's hiding out, if she's whatever. Yeah. Yeah. All we said was Yatsa Malayo borrowed his comments. Okay. And now Yatsa Malayo, she went out when she left town. She was pregnant, and now she came back unpregnant, and therefore, so obviously she had the baby in between. And the question is when. Okay, so now let's start analyzing the Braitha. Okay, the question is like this. Okay, so far we've covered why the first 4 weeks she's also to have relations with her husband. The first week because in case she had a boy, so then she's tummy for a week. The second week in case it was a girl, 2 weeks. The third week in case it was a girl and you let it deserve, where then she needs only after the 14 days of Tumah for the girl, only after that can she have the 7 clean days for the Ziva, which we just said before you walked in, that there's actually Machlokas and next parak on that subject. If you have among those 14 days, there are 7 clean days, can that count? Can it do double duty as part of the 14 days for the girl, as well as for the 7 days of the Ziva? It's Machlokas, Abaya, and Rava. And the next parak, are Braitha's taking the view that they don't count?
And it counts if one has...
Because if there's no bleeding during that time, so therefore maybe it can count as 7 clean days.
Retroactively?
No, what retroactively? She gave birth...
After the 7 days that are clean, then you go and you say it counts.
She gave birth to a girl on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, let's say. So now we're saying she's Tomei through the 14th of Nissan no matter what. Suppose that when it came Rosh Chodesh Nissan, she was already a Zavah, because she had bleeding for 3 days towards the end of Adar, and then there was at least 1 day break before she had the baby. We're saying she needs 7 clean days for that Ziva. Suppose that, for example, the 8th through the 14th of Nisan, the last 7 days when she's tummy for the girl, suppose that during those days there didn't happen to be bleeding.
Oh.
Had she not been a Zava, it wouldn't make a difference
right.
Anyway, because either...
That's the case
of your lettuce is right.
Okay.
So means that she was a Ziva, that she was a Zava when she gave birth. When she gave birth, she was already a Zava. Meaning that there was at least 3 days of bleeding, and then there was 1 day break, and then she gave birth.
So within 4 days before the birth.
It could be more than that. It would be the same thing. Would be if the same
minimum.
Thing could. Minimum, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Normally, that birth is up at that time before pregnancy. It's because of pregnancy.
Exactly. That's the difference of koshi somoch l'leda or shofi somoch l'leda, which we're going to deal with that a great deal in the next class. So koshi, whether there's a bleeding or hardship, yeah, immediately before the birth, or whether there's shofi, whether there's calmness and no bleeding. We'll get to that in the next class. We're going to talk about that extensively. Okay. So now, okay, so we've covered then the first 3 weeks, and we've covered the we've covered the fourth week. The fourth week, because it might have been a trickle adjusted, exactly. Given that in the fourth week she's bleeding, it might be that the Yemei Tumah and Yemei Tahara already ended weeks ago, and this is a plain nidah cycle or a plain ziva cycle, right? Okay. So now let's start analyzing. Hach Shavua Chamishi Yitaharu, during the fifth week, which is all Tahar, because that's the scenario over here, first 3 weeks are no bleeding, and after that we're saying you have 1 week bleeding and 1 week not, and then it goes back and forth like that. So fourth week bleeding, fifth week not, sixth week bleeding, seventh week not, etc. So during the fifth week, Tishamish, why shouldn't she be allowed to have relations during that whole week? There's no bleeding. So what's the problem?
It should be her.
The answer is
that bleeding should be totally
right. No. That's what we asked about that already. We said it might have been her chikal ajasa. But now we're talking during the fifth week. During the fifth week, none of those days is she bleeding. So why are we saying only on the night of the last, only on the last night of that week is she mutter to her husband? What about? Here you have 4 weeks or 28 days. So once we've disposed of 28 days, fine. We're now up to day 29. Day 29 is Tahar, day 30 is Tahar, day 31 is Tahar, so why is she not mutter to her husband on those days? The answer is, Hach Shavua Revi, because it's not like we know for a fact that the fourth week is outside of her Yemei Tumah or Yemei Tahara. The whole fourth week, Kol Yoma V'Yoma, every day of that week, Masafkin, we have to have a suffix with Sof Leda or with Chilach Nida. It might be the end of her 40 or 80 days after the birth, or it might be the beginning of her Nida. So therefore, the Esther and the Tmanya Gufe, so even the 28th day, in other words, again, so we have three complete weeks that she was tarred, that's 21 days. Now comes day 22, and we see her bleeding. Is that part of her 40 or 80 days after a baby? In that case, then Zam Toyhar, and then she's good. Or maybe not. Maybe her Yemei Toyhar ended long ago, and this is Yemei Nid, and this is the first day of her Nidah. The same thing on the next day. The same thing if she bleeds on day 23. Same problem. Was yesterday the last of her 80 days after a girl, and today is the beginning of Tchilas Nidah, or is it still within the 80 days? So every single day, you have that same suffix, whether today is the beginning of her new Nidah cycle, the Esther Nachmanya Gufe, and even on the 28th, the last day of the fourth week itself, Emer, it's very possible, Tchilas Nidah, that might be the first day of her Nidah, because, again, remember, she came to us saying, I had a baby at some point, but I don't know when. So let's say, for example, that so again, we said that for a girl, there's supposed to be 66 Yemei Tahara. Now what happens? There might have 66 days of Dam Tahara. Now what happens? So it might be that she actually had the baby 39 days before she showed up in Beis Din. So 53 days. So you already had 14 days of Yemei Tumah. You have 39 days of her Yemei Tahara. Now she shows up in Beis Din, and you only have 27 days left of her Yemei Tahara. So that's the 27th day from when she came to Beis Din. It is the last day of her Yemei Tahara, and now when she bleeds on the 28th, and that's the first day of her Nidah cycle. Then we need to wait a complete week after that, then what would happen is, well, in the case of a Nidah, remember what happens is on a Daraisa level. Forget about how we do it nowadays, but on a Daraisa level, if she became Nidah on that day, the 28th, then you have she's Tomei through the 34th day, 7 complete days she's Tomei, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, and on the night after the 34th, she can go to the mikvah.
39 days and 14 days, you said?
She has 66 days of Tahara altogether, but we don't know how many of them have passed before she came to Beis Din. Mm-hmm. The minimum is, I shouldn't say the minimum. If 39 of her Yemei Tahara had passed before she came to Beis Din, then from when she comes, then you have 27 days. So during those 27 days, any bleeding doesn't matter. She's still mutter to her husband, but we don't know. Once it cuts, so then the 28th day itself could actually, so it's still possible the 28th day is during the Yemei Tahara, but it's also possible that it's not, and it's the first day of her Nidah, and that would make her Tomei through the 34th. So therefore, that is why through the 34th, for most of the fifth week, she can't be having relations either.
It's unusual for a woman to be Nidah 1 month after she delivers.
If she's it depends whether she's nursing or not. Remember, in this case, she lost the baby.
Yes,
in this case,
she's not nursing. It's unusual.
Yeah, maybe it's unusual, maybe not. But the fact of the matter is, once the 40 or 80 days pass after a boy or after a girl, whenever the next time she bleeds after that is the beginning of her next Nidah cycle.
By definition,
yes. So therefore, so in this case, again, so the 28th day, it might still be part of her Yemei Tahara, and then there's no problem, she'd be mutter to her husband, but it might not be. it might be that it's the first day of her eumenia. So that cuts out then the 28th through 34th days.
34,
because 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, that's 7 days. Yeah. So therefore, so Ema Trilas Nidhi, Eva Esther and Tmani Gope, so the 28th itself, Ema Trilas Nidhi, we have to be concerned that might be the first day of her new Nidhi cycle, Obayala Mesa of Shiva Nidhasa. Now she has to have 7 days to cover her Nidhi, so that gets us down to the 34th. Okay. The question is, the Estrim Bechad to Shamish, the question is, let's go back and ask why on the night, why is it on the 21st day, the last day of the third week, why is she not mutter to her husband? We should say that, remember, you have the first 3 weeks were all tahor, there was no bleeding. So no matter what, no matter how you look at it, either she's doing the Yemei Tahara.
The first 3 weeks after what?
The first 3 weeks after she came. After she came to Beis Din.
After
she came to Beis Din. So we know that at some previous time she had a baby, or she says she did, but she's not sure when and she's not sure of the details. Fine, but no matter how you look at it, that 21st day, even if so, let's say even she had the baby on the actual day that she came to Beis Din. Fine, the Yemei Tumah are already over because the maximum Yemei Tumah you have is 14 for a girl. Even if it was your lettuce deserves, you have another 7. So that's the 21st. So we're on the 21st day now. Now the thing is like you have 14 days maximum of Tumah in case she had a girl. Another 7 in case she was your lettuce deserve. But unlike a nidah who can only tovel on the night after her 7th day, a zava can tovel during the day. So when you have a classic case of a zava, forget about the cases of spekas over here. You have a regular case where a zava, where a woman becomes a zava, she has 3 days or more of bleeding within the 11 days of Yemei Ziva. So what happens is she has 7 clean days. On the 7th day itself, she's able to go to the mikveh. Unlike a nidah who would have to wait until the night after the 7th day. So therefore, so the question is, she should be able to go to the mikveh during the day on the 21st, and then she should be mutter to her husband. In case she was a yeledes v'zoiv, even if she was a yeledes v'zoiv, at this point, we're clear. So what's our problem? Yeah. The answer is, Reb Shimon, the answer is yes, but this braisa goes according to Reb Shimon, to almost also lasis kain. Reb Shimon says, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to. It's true that technically she could go to the mikveh on the 21st. And, let's say in the regular case, in the case, a zava on her 7th day, on her 7th clean day, is allowed to go to the mikveh and be allowed to. Technically, that's true. However, Reb Shimon says she should not have relations with her husband, Shema Tovi, Lidei Sofet, because it could lead to a Sofet. What would happen if later that day, after she goes to the mikveh, she has bleeding again? Then the din is, she's soiser, it undoes all her 17 days. So even though we say mikta sayem tukula, we say that part of a day is considered like all of it. So therefore, so this is Zavag Dola, let's say. So she had her bleeding on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, let's say. So now we're saying she has to have 7 clean days, which runs from Wednesday until through the following Tuesday. What we're saying is she's allowed to go to the mikta during the day on Tuesday. She doesn't have to wait until Tuesday night. Technically, in that case, a nidah would have had to wait. But on the other hand, though, Reb Shimon is saying, but if we're going to allow her to have relations with her husband later in the day on Tuesday, before nightfall, what happens if she bleeds? If she bleeds later on in the day on Tuesday, then it undoes the whole thing. Then she's back to then it means, so it comes out, in other words, that she didn't have 7 clean days after all. It comes out that she had relations with her husband when she was still a lover, when she was still within the 7 clean days, and that's no good. If they wait till nightfall, then they're good. That's already, if they wait till Tuesday night, then they're good. Tuesday night is already after the 7 clean days. So therefore, they can have relations and there's no problem.
Instead of saying if she has a relation
during the day on Tuesday. Okay, but nevertheless, we learned that in general you're not supposed to, but nevertheless, we said there are exceptions, et cetera, whatever. We talked about there can be exceptions, but the point is, if she were to go to the mikveh sometime during the day on Tuesday, and later that same day she were to bleed again, then it comes out retroactively that they've had relations during the seven clean days, which they're not supposed to do.
Fine, could you say you wait
till the night time. That's what we're saying. So our brisa that's saying that she's not allowed to have relations on the 21st, she has to wait till the night of the 25th. That is specifically a coincidence. Right.
Why not after the 21st?
That's the answer. Because after the 21st comes the 22nd, and the 22nd already she's starting to bleed again. We said the case is that you have 3 weeks of tahor, and then the 4th week already she starts being tummy.
Now, we're not sure if it's because after having a baby, which is
we don't
fine,
know if it's a baby. We don't know if it's Damtoha or Nidha, right. But the point is, that either way, therefore, she can't have relations with her husband beginning the 22nd, right.
Oh, so the question was only about...
Only about the 21st,
specifically.
According to the Chachamim, that's according to Rav Shimon. According to Chachamim, what was...
So according to the Chachamim, we're not saying that it's a good idea to. In fact, at the end of the Masechta, we're going to talk about if it's called Tau withdrawal. But nevertheless, the Chachamim would allow it. The Chachamim would say she can have relations with her husband. In this case, on the 21st day, we're not worried about the possibility that she shouldn't. It would be better, obviously better if they hold themselves back and don't, but the Chachamim are not going to actually ask for it. Rav Shimon is actually asking it.
Because later on
she may bleed that day, and if she did, then yeah. Later on, she would be back to being a zava. Yeah. With that said, by the way, right, because she hasn't had seven full clean days, exactly. Right. Okay.
She leaves the next...
Any time during the 7 days, then it's soyser, it cancels the whole thing.
And it what
and makes her a zava
another 7 days?
Then she needs another seven clean days, right.
Okay.
Later on, and towards the end of the Masechta, by the way, we're going to talk about a different possible meaning of what Rav Shimon means. Maybe Rav Shimon means actually that she's not supposed to toivel on the 21st. Our Gemara is not taking that view. Our Gemara is taking Rashi over here explains in accordance with the explanation that it's talking about whether she's allowed to have relations. But okay, anyway.
She can toivel, she just can't write.
Right. Okay.
But this is the case over here.
Yeah.
Where it's a suffering because she came to bed not knowing when she had
right.
a child.
Mm-hmm.
So they might gain by having that one day because the next 2 weeks they can't have relations anyway.
No, but that's the point. In other words, we're saying a coin Rav Shimon would ask her to have relations that
right.
day in case she bleeds later that day.
Right. But if she would do it, she's gaining herself because she can't have relations.
Well, maybe, but according to Rav Shimon, she's not allowed to do it. According to Rav Shimon, she's not allowed to do it. Clearly.
You say usually that's a suffix on a suffix, and we don't have two sphincters, one on top of the other.
Sometimes we do, and in particular, Tosfos actually talked about earlier, for example, when you have a suffix, when you have a sphincter where the two sphincters would contradict each other. But also over here, what suffix on top of the suffix? We don't know when she gave birth.
So that's
the suffix, right?
The second suffix, we don't know if she's going to bleed the next
Okay, but Rav Shimon says outright that any time a zava, that's the point. So according to him, it's not just a matter of so. He says also losses came. Shamash zava b'yom tefilah. So Rashi says shema tova v'day suffix. But it's not a suffix that if she does, we're not sure what's going to happen. If she does, we know what's going to happen. So the suffix is whether this is going to happen. That's a different kind of suffix.
We know what's going to happen. We don't know if it's going to
But that's a different kind of suffix. Because it's a different kind of suffix. There's a suffix in halacha versus there's a suffix. No, it's a different kind. Okay. Anyway, let's go on. Okay. Fine. The question is, la'urta to shamish. Okay, well, then the question is, the night after the 21st, she should be able to have relations. But pashtus, we assume that only the day of the 22nd does she start bleeding. The answer is, she should also be erev. No, we're actually talking about where she starts having bleeding on the night after the 21st. So therefore the 21st.
So she can't have it because this is our case, so you can't have relations for this full...
No. Here we're saying, again, one second. We're saying that had she not bled on the night after the 21st, she would be able to, because even according to Rav Shimon, she's good now. She had one full week that was to her. Actually, she had three full weeks that were to her. No matter what, she's covered the tumah of birth and the tumah of Ziva. And now she's even had, after nightfall, so even if she were to bleed, it would be a new thing. It wouldn't be undoing her sira of a Zava. So therefore, even Rav Shimon would allow her to have relations. What we're talking about that she actually started bleeding right then on that night.
Okay, I think we think in our case we did that. We have the first explain why it's just first 4 weeks you can't handle it.
No. That's what we were asking before, why the fourth week not, and we said on the face of it it's dam toihar. So we said that hirchikale just, so we don't know whether it's dam toihar anymore. Fine. So the fourth week during which she's bleeding is definitely off limits because we don't know whether it's dam toihar or not. The question was at the end of the third week, why is she not mulcher? And the answer is the last day of the third week, Rav Shimon went after her. The night after that is already was saying she's starting to bleed again. So therefore it might be dam nidah, and therefore right. Okay, Tosfos actually explains because of the consideration in the Gemara that we're going to have soon. Tosfos explains that maybe it was right after nightfall or whatever, she toveled immediately as soon as night fell, and then like within a half hour, an hour after that, she had the ri'ya. So in other words, hypothetically, she could have toveled, but had she had the time after she toveled, she could have had a half hour or an hour there to have relations, but she didn't manage to get it in, and therefore, okay, all right, fine. Okay, so now we said now let's start talking about that. Shammai has said that she has to tovel 95 times during the circuit. So that's the answer so far. So far we said the question that we tried to bring from it against Rabbi Shurban Levi is not a question because it might be Hechikah Leidasa. We've covered now why it is that the fourth week she can't have relations because it might be Dam Midah. And we've explained now why she can't have. At the end of the third week, Rabbi Shimon would ask her to on the 21st. The Chachamim actually would have allowed it. And the night after that already, she's starting to bleed very shortly after Sefer Kahn. Okay. Next. We say during this whole time, she has to tovel 95 times. Why 95? Like this. No, the halacha is not like this Shammai. But Shammai says 95. Hold on. Hold. Cool your jets. Let's. Shavua kama makbilinoisa below the vault. During the first week, again, we're talking about again. She says she gave birth. We don't know when. We don't know the exact circumstances. We're talking about from when she came to Beis Din. The clock starts then. During that whole first week, Matbilan Oisa Balela Basa, we have to have her tovel every night during that week. Emo Yaledes Zachari, because it might be that she gave birth to a boy, and the Gemara is going to explain soon that Beth Shammai and Beth Hillel both hold of a concept called Tvila Bizmana Mitzvah. Tvila Bizmana Mitzvah would mean as soon as a woman is able to tovel, there's a mitzvah to tovel right then, whether it's day, whether it's night. As opposed to Rabbi Yehuda holds that Tevila Bizmana is not a mitzvah. We'll talk about later on what the halacha is. But first, talking according to Beis Shammai. So let's say like this. Again, we don't know when she gave birth. We also don't know if it was a boy. Suppose it was a boy. Suppose that the first day she comes to Beis Din happens to be the seventh day after the boy. Well, then she's supposed to tovel that night. Or your legis, like a nidah, has to tovel at night. No, that's the point. So therefore, she came to Beis Din on Sunday, let's say. That might be the seventh day from when she had the baby. She doesn't know if she had it the previous Monday, so that night she has to tovel in case that's the seventh night. The next Monday night also, in case she had the baby on Tuesday. Tuesday night, in case she had it on a Wednesday, etc. So that explains seven of the tefillahs. Every night of the first week she has to tovel because she may have had a baby. Shavuot Sheni Makbilah Noisa B'Lo Levasa, the same way. During the second week, every day she has to tovel, every night she has to tovel Emi Yoledes Nekedi. For the same reason, because she might have had a girl, and every one of those nights might be the night after the night after the 14 days, which is when she's Torah, right?
Okay.
And by the way, and also the Gemara is going to point out in a second that Beis Shammai holds like this. Now, like this, when we say, for example, when we say that a woman is Tomei for 7 days after a boy and 14 days after a girl, and then we said begins the Yimei Tahala, does she need to tovel to transition from one to the other? Does she need to tovel at the end of the seventh night or 14? Beis Shammai holds yes. Therefore, according to Beis Shammai, it's not just a matter of Tevila Bizmana Mitzvah, it's also Beis Shammai is going to hold that she can only end the 7 or 14 days and begin the 33 or 66 days by Tovel. So therefore, then she's still Tomei with the 7 or 14. Yeah. Okay. Right. And also, during that second week, the Imamah, she also has to Tovel during the daytimes of each of those, of the second week. Emo Yeledes Zachar B'Zoiv. Because it might be that she had a boy, but she was a Yeledes B'Zoiv. So then we said she has 7 days of Tumah for the boy, and then seven clean days for the Zivah. And a Zava Tovels by day. So therefore, so during that second week, she has to Tovel, again, if we say Tzvila Bizmana Mitzvah, then as soon as she's able to tovel, she needs to. So therefore, yeah. So therefore, during that second week, she has to tovel every morning and every night. Every morning in case she was a Yoledes Zachar B'Zoiv, and every night in case she was Yoledes Nekeva.
But if it's B'Zoiv, she wouldn't know that.
She doesn't know, because she doesn't know how long before the birth the bleeding took place.
Definitely, but she definitely bleeding.
Well, again, according to the Ramban, it has to be that she knew that she was bleeding. She just doesn't know how it was relative to the birth. Many other Rishonim disagree with that and say it doesn't even matter, even if she didn't know that she's bleeding. We knew she was pregnant, now she's not. We assume we ourselves have to deal with the various possible status that there might have been bleeding. Okay. Next, Shavua Shlishi Machbilan Lobby Mama. During the third week, we have to have her tovel every day, every daytime, every morning. Amy Yaletis Nakeva Bazoidi. Again, because she might have been a Yoledes Nekeva B'Zoiv. So again, as a Zava during that, if she was, then every day of that third week might be the last day of her seven clean days for Ziva, right, in the morning, right? V'loy Levosa, and why does she need to Tovel in the night of that third week? Because Beis Shammai L'Tamayu, because Beis Shammai goes according to their Shitta, that they say at the end of the Masechta, Tzvula, Da'amri, they say, Tzvula, Yom Oruch, Boi Tzvila. They say that in a I'm sorry, I said it wrongly before. It's not that Beis Shammai says that you need tefillah to go from the 7 days to the 33, or from the 14 to the 66. But what it is Beis Shammai holds that at the, okay, so 1 second. This woman, during the 14 or 66, during the 33 or 66 days, we say she's mutter to her husband, but she still also keeps Truma and Kodshin.
Why 33 again?
There's seven days of Truma for a boy, and then 33 days of Imetara, and for a total 40.
Seven
of Truma and 33 of Tara. That's the regular thing, a regular situation where a woman gives birth to a boy. You need seven. You have 7 days where she's tummy, whether there was bleeding. That's the thing. After the 7 days, she goes to the mikveh. Then at that point, so that's not just the shama. Everybody says that. And then she's mutter to her husband for the next 30. So during the next 33 days, even if she bleeds, zam toyar. Then what happens is, though, now, during those whole 40 days, 7 plus the 33, and the same thing for a girl, 14 plus 66, during all those days, she still also teaches Truma and Kodshin. During those 33 or 66 days, she's what's called Tvolas Yoim Aruch. Now, a Tvol Yoim normally is somebody goes to the mikveh, and that night they become completely tahor. And the only thing is if they have to bring a korban, then they bring it the next day. One second. The Shammai is safe. So everybody agrees she's called a Tvolas Yoim Aruch during that time. That's why she's also teaching Truma and Kodshin, because a Tvol Yoim is also teaching Truma and Kodshin. She's called a Tvolas Yoim Aruch in the sense she goes to the mikveh, let's say after having a boy, she goes to the mikveh the night after the seventh day, but then for the next 33 days, it's as if she's a Tvol Yoim the whole time. We don't say, normally we would say she went to the mikveh in the nighttime after the seventh day. The following night she'll be, Truma is over. Here the Torah extends it by 33 days, and the same then 66 for a girl. But Shammai holds that at the end of that time, at the end of the 40 or the 80 days, she needs to go to the mikveh. She went to the mikveh at the end of the seventh day or the end of the 14th day. But Shammai says it doesn't matter. Now at the end of the 33 or 66 days of Yemei Tara, she again needs to go to the mikveh. And then the next morning she'll bring her korban.
Everybody agrees that from the 7th to the next, to the beginning of the Yemei Tara,
she has to go to the mikveh, right?
But Shammai has,
at the end of the Yemei Tara, exactly.
Right.
You know, so they say, Tvulas Yom Oroch. This Tvulas Yom Oroch, this woman who is in the state of Tvul Yom for 33 or 66 days, needs to Tovel at the end of it. So therefore, and like any case of a Yeledet, she has to Tovel at night. So therefore, so Beis Shammai is saying, therefore, during this third week, any of the days of this third week might be the end of her 80 days, it might be the end of her Yemei Tohar. Therefore, she needs to go to the mikveh every night of those days. So far we've covered as follows. We said that during the first week she toivels every night. The first week only night. There's no reason to toivel by day. The first week it can't be her seven clean days for reasons that the Gemara is going to discuss soon. So during the first week every night, during the second week every day and every night, and during the third week every day and every night. So far we have 35 to this. Now let's figure out, Mechti Yemetara Kamahabu. Now let's look at it like this. Altogether, if she had a girl, how many Yemetara would she have? Shit and Veshita. She'd have 66, as the Pasuk says. Dal Shavua Gimel Da'atilinama. So now let's subtract the third week. We already have her Tovel every day of that week. In other words, let's figure out, again, according to the Shammai, we don't know when her Yemetara ended. But we're saying during that third week, every night we're toveling her in case it ended. So now at that point, has Poshul who shitin nachi chada. So at this point, how many more days do we have to deal with that she has to tovel on the following night, every night in the suffix, because it might be the end of the 80 days? We have 59, because 66 minus 7 is 59. So therefore, we already accounted for 35 before during the first 3 weeks. So therefore, 59 plus 35, Tishin v'dalet havin. It's only 94. Tishin v'chomesh maya v'tayu. Why is Beis Shammai saying that she needs to total 95 times?
How does he add up?
35 plus 59. We're saying like this. During the first 3 weeks, we said she's totaling 35 times. Seven times, every night following the first 7 days. Every day and every night of the second and third week, so that's altogether
twice a day
during the second and third week,
and third week,
right? So that's altogether 28 times. Seven times every night of the first night, so therefore the first week, it's 35. Now, after that, how many more possible days are there that could be Dam Torah? The maximum is 59. because during any of the following 59 days could conceivably be the end of Hoya Mei's time.
So that's another
59. So 35 plus 59 equals 94. Why is the Shammai saying that she has to total 95 times? Where's the 95th one coming in?
Before.
So, well, we didn't say before.
Just explain, because you have to go, you have to make a division between...
No. That she's totaling anyway, because she's anyway totaling every night. That'll be the division between the 7 and the 33, or between the 14 and the 66 anyway. So that's anyway covered. The answer is, Amar Avir Mi Medifti, then Shabbos Lefanen of Bein HaShemoshes. The answer is, suppose she came to Beis Din Bein HaShemoshes. So we're not sure if it's considered daytime or nighttime. The Avin Lot Tevila Yeserta. So then we have to have her do one extra Tevila. We assumed all this time that she came during the day. So let's say Rashi says she came Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So the first time they had her Tovah was the night after Rosh Chodesh Nissan. The 80 days that we're concerned with are 30 days of Nissan, 29 of Iyar, and 21 of Sivan. So altogether on the night, so therefore the night after the 21st of Sivan is the last time she should have the Tovah. But now we're saying, suppose she came Bein HaShemoshes, so it might be night, it might be day, so therefore they have to have her Tovah that very night of going into Rosh Chodesh. Because it might be it's still daytime, and that day might have been the last day of the Tovah.
Where do you take the 69 from?
66 minus 7, because we already accounted for 7 days during the third week.
Yeah. Well, if she knows, as she's told, that the last time you can see yourself going for another extra dip, you come either late at night or you come by day.
Okay, but she came to Beis Din. It so happened she came Bein HaShemoshes.
The first time when she first came
to Beis Din, it was Bein HaShemoshes. So we have one extra to be looking at. So that accounts for Beis Shammai. So now we understand why Beis Shammai says that. Now we understand why Beis Shammai says she's got a total 95 times.
They sell the women also a monthly
test. Yeah, really. Like you were saying, also the McGloris were cold in those days. So yeah. Okay. Now let's turn to Beis Hillel. Now let's turn to Beis Hillel. They say that the Tevulas Yom Aruch does not need Tevila. They say that once the 33 or 66 days pass, she does not need any further Tevila. The next day, she already Tovah at the end of the 7 or the 14 days. All she needs now is to bring her Karbanos the next day, and that's it. So according to Lamed Hey Maya Kedetayu. So according to Beis Hillel, where are we getting 35 Tevilas for this woman? So Esther Matmanya Kedam Maram. So 28, we already accounted for. We said we're 14 during the days and 14 during the night.
So
we have 14 during the days and 14 during the night, because we still have the concern that during the second or the third week it could be the end of her days. It could be the end of her days of Truma, or it could be the end of her days of Truma after a boy, or the end of her days of Truma after a girl, or the end of her Ziva.
Right.
So therefore, we still have the same 20.
Year,
right. So therefore, we still have the same 28 tevilas that we said before. Morning, right? Then.
Covers with boy or girl.
Right. That'll cover boy, girl, and zal, no matter what. Ha shavua hey. Then what we do is during the fifth week, when we said during the fifth week she's not bleeding anymore. So now, matzalin and kolelia valeria, we make her tovel every night of the fifth week. Amor sof nidahi, because each day during the fifth week, as we said before, might be the end of her nidah cycle. Because again, we said we don't know how long ago she had the nidah. So it could be. No. Zoe, we already took care of no matter what. Zoe, we already took care of no matter what. Yossi, is it possible to move those without making so much noise? Just pick them up and move them. Okay, just pick them up and move them where you need them, you know? Okay. So during the fifth week, again, we just like we said before, the 22nd day might be the beginning of her Yemei Nidah, because it might be the 21st day was the end of her 80 days. The 22nd day might be the beginning of her Yemei Nidah. The 23rd might be, etc. Every day through the 28th, remember, every one of the days from the 22nd through the 28th, she's reading, any of those might be Tchilas Nidah. So therefore, we said already that she needs, therefore, to Tovel every night. She needs to Tovel then the night after the 29th, and the night after the 30th, and the night after the 31st, etc., each of those days. So that's the other five that she needs. Okay. because again, she has what she has 28 to 34. So that's another 7 days. So according to Basilo, she only needs, so she has the 28 from the beginning to cover the possible later ziver, or your lettuce deserve. And then we have, in addition, there's one more set of thrillers that she needs every night in case she was a nidda, during the fifth week. And then that's that. During the fourth week. Yeah. Right. Okay, the question is, next, let's figure out Yud Shavuim Lomali. In this whole scenario that we're talking about, we said, again, that she has 3 weeks to begin with after she came to Beis Din, where she's Tahor. Then we said it's alternating back and forth, 1 week where she's bleeding, 1 week where she's not. So the question is, why do we need 10 full weeks of that? Altogether, that means we're discussing 13 weeks. 13 weeks is 91 days. Now, what's the maximum we have to worry about is 80 days, because even if she gave birth earlier in the day before she came to Beis Din, you only have to deal with 80 days anyway after a girl. So therefore, so Yud Shavuim Lomali, why do we need to be talking about where she has alternating back and forth Tama and Tahar for 10 weeks, but Tmanio Palgasavi, it would be enough 8.5 weeks. Because we have 3 weeks at the beginning that she was Tahar, another 8.5 weeks, 3 plus 8.5 is 11.5, 11 weeks of 77 days, another half a week is 3 or 4 days. So we've covered everything we need. What do we care what happens after that? After that, fine, she's back to being a regular nidda or zava, as the case may be. That's not a scenario that we need to discuss over here.
What number is Tmanya?
Tmanya means 8. Yeah. So why do we need, the scenario that we drew out over here involved that she came to Beis Din, for the first 3 weeks after she came to Beis Din, there's no bleeding. After that, the fourth week she bleeds every day, and the fifth one she doesn't. The sixth week she bleeds every day, and the seventh one she doesn't, etc. And eventually, we come to the end of the 13th week, and she didn't bleed during that 13th week. But why do we need? We don't need the second half of the 12th week. We don't need the 13th week at all. Once the 80 days are over, once 80 days have passed, in Rashi's scenario over here, she came to us on Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Once the 21st of Sivan has passed, anything having to do with births is over and done with. From now on, it's just a regular thing that she has a regular Nida and Zava cycle. She doesn't need to come to us, the Beis Din, to ask what to do. She can just ask her. She can just ask her local Kala teacher.
What to do. Girl, and we don't know.
And
her.
Yes.
Right.
But so that's it. So at that point, we're done. 80 days is 11.5 weeks. So why do we need to be talking about 13 weeks? The answer is, I did a ton of power to Shavua. Fine, but once we have to talk about half a week, which still might be within the 80 days, masically, so then we already finish up that week. But I did a ton of Shavua Tome, ton of Nami Shavua Tahar. And since we had this pattern going on where she had a week Tome and a week Tahar,
we
add an extra week in which she's Tahar, even though it's not strictly necessary for the scenario over here. So now let's look at some more details that in this braisa. The question is now like this. According to Beis Hillel, we're saying that we needed only 35, we're saying she needed only 35 tvilas. But the question is, every week that she's Tomei, she might be a zava. So fine, the fourth week we said she can't be a zava because there was no nidus before it. So the fourth week when she bleeds, it can only be nidda, it can't be zava. But the previous 3 weeks before, which is 3 weeks is more than 11 days. So no matter what, we've covered, or it's more than 18 days. So there's no question that when she starts bleeding on the night going into the 22nd, she can only be a nidda. It's impossible for her to be a zava. But when she bleeds during the sixth week, she might be a zava. The eighth week, she might be a zava, because we don't know which ones were nidda and which ones were zava. So why are we saying so then she should have to tovel for that as well? The answer is delifne tashmish kachoshiv delachar tashmish lekachoshiv. Bithilul is not counting the total number of tvilas that she has to do. They're only counting the ones up until she's allowed to have relations with her husband. We said she's allowed to have relations with her husband on the night of the 35th, because by that time she had an entire week of tara, and the fourth week can only have been nidda. So there's no question on the night going into the 35th, for sure she's tahor, no matter how you slice it. So therefore, at that point, once she's mutter to her husband that night, then Bethilah stops the clock over there. Yes, of course, following that, she's always going to have a stoppage, whether she's a nidda or a zava. She's going to need a certain number of clean days in order to get back on track, more than the 7 that she has each time.
What would be the stoppage from what?
Well, because we don't know. During the fourth week, was she a nidda? Or was it still during the Yimei Tahara? And therefore, one second. So the fourth week, again, the fourth week, there's no question. She's either a nidda or it's Yimei Tahara. There's no other possibility. But if the fourth week she was a nidda, then the sixth week she's a zava. If the fourth week was still in Yemei Tahara, then the sixth week is Nidah. And the same thing from 6 to 8, and the same thing from 8 to 10, etc. But the Tilo is not counting the number of Tevilas that she has to do during that time, because once we got in one day, which is one night, the night of the 35th, that she's allowed to have relations with her husband, then Vasilla is not counting the various Tevilas that she might have to do about. That's just, in other words, Vasilla is not counting that, because that's just the regular, that has nothing to do with the birth per se. That just has to do with the regular case where a woman has gotten mixed up, whether she's in her Nidda period of her cycle or the Zav period of her cycle, which then we learned in Erechin that she needs to have a certain number of clean days, and in that scenario, I think she needs to have, I think, 12 clean days or something in order to get back on track. So we're not dealing with that because that's not relevant to our
answer. Regular Zava, the color of the blood, the same
as... No, it's the same, yeah, it's the same as Nidah. Yeah.
If she's a Zava, she would need 12 days, you're saying?
If she has a Sopik, whether she's a Nidah or a Zava, at any time, then she needs a certain number of clean days to get back on track. So we talked about... We actually learned in Erechin, it can vary anything between 7 and 17 days, depending how many days in succession she bled. Because you don't know whether some of them were in her Yemei Nidah and some of them in her Yemei Ziva, or all of them in Yemei Nidah, or all of them in Yemei Ziva, or whatever. There's various possibilities, various possible combinations. So we learned in Erechin, we learned in Mishnah over there, and a Gemara on it, that discussed the various possible scenarios. So yeah, if she bled for 7 days in succession, for example, so it could be, what do you have? So it could be that most of them were during her Yemei Nidah, and only two of them, let's say, were during her Yemei Ziva, or it might be that three of them were during her Yemei Ziva. She winds up having to have, I think, like 12 or 13 clean days in that case in order to get back on track. By considering all the various possible scenarios. All right, what about all of Beit Shammai? Now let's go back to Beit Shammai. We said she needs 95 tevilas. The Choshev del Achar Tashmish. Now, obviously, Beit Shammai is counting the ones that she has to do after Tashmish as well, because Beit Shammai, we said 59 of her tevilas take place after she's mutter to her husband for the one night. So obviously, they're counting them. Nechshev nami tevilas zava. So shouldn't they have to count also that during those following weeks? So again, she'd have to tovel. Beit Shammai had said she has to tovel every night in case it's the night after the 80 days. And according to them, you need for tevilas yom aruch. But she should also, they said tevilah b'zmana mitzvah. She should have to be toveling every day of those days because she might have been a zava. And the answer is, but Shammai is still only counting the tevilas that she has to do that are directly related to the birth, not ones that are related to Ziva. We said before that one whole part of the scenario was Yeletus Bezoiv, and we mentioned the ones that she has to tovel during the day because of that. Fine, but the answer is Yeletus Bezoiv, Kochoshiv, Ziva, greater to Lekochoshiv. Fine, we're counting Zoiv when it's at least possibly related to the later, when she was Yeletus Bezoiv, and therefore we have a combination of the dinim of Yeletus and Zoiv. But Shammai is not counting the fact that she could be a Zava later on, that she's a Sophic Zava later on, and should have to tovel for that. So in other words, it comes out, according to both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, it does come out, she is toveling a lot more than 35 or 95 times. But we're just dealing with the ones that Beit Din is going to have to tell her to do as a result of the Sophic that she got herself into. The other ones are not directly related to that Sophic. They're just related to the fact that she lost track of where she is in her Nidah Zava cycle. Okay, the next question is, Shavuot Sakama Da'afila Kamon, how about during the first week that she comes to us, Litvala B'yoma, we should have to have her tovel every daytime during those days, Dilma Kol Yoma B'yoma Shlimula Sfurim Nida, because any one of those days could be the end of her 7 clean days. Remember, she doesn't know how far back she gave birth. She might have given birth months ago. Now she's coming, and so what happens? In between, she may have been a Zava at some point, and then you have her 7 clean days, the day she comes to Beis Din. It could be the last day of her 7 clean days of Zava. So why shouldn't she have to tovel during the day that day and the next day and so forth, just in case? The answer is Homani, Rabbi Akiva. Yes, but this braisa goes specifically according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that in a case like that, where a woman comes and says, "I was a zava," but she doesn't know the details, we have to have her count the 7 clean days in our presence. We can't assume that she would know to keep track of what are clean days and what are not. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, so if she comes now on Rosh Chodesh Nissen, or the new Bein HaShemashah is going into Rosh Chodesh Nissen, or whatever, as we said, we're not going to say, okay, today might be your 7th day of Sfira, go Tovel. Rabbi Akiva is going to say, no, we're going to consider today is your first clean day, and tomorrow is your second, and so forth. And therefore, there's no need to have her Tovel in the middle of it. Okay. Next. Sof Shavua Kama Litvala. Okay, but still in that case, at the end of the first week, we should have to have her Tovo by day on the seventh day of the first week, because then if that is her, even if we're going to say, like Rabbi Akiva, that is her seventh clean day in case she had been a Zava. So we should have to Tovo her because that's her seventh clean day. The answer is you're right. She does actually have to Tovo then, but Chad B'Shavua like Kamairi, but we're not counting Tevilas. We only have one in a week. We're counting Tevilas. The point is we're counting ones where you have an entire week where she has to Tovel every day or every night of that week. We're not counting the individual ones that she might have to here or there. Bethillel also, Rashi says earlier, Bethillel also, for that matter, when we said before, we mentioned the case that she came Bein HaShemashas, and we counted, therefore, that's where Beth Shammah gets their 95th Tevilah. Theoretically, according to Bethillel, that should be a 29th Tevilah as well, because they're talking about the same scenario. Rashi says the same answer applies. Since it's only one Tevilah in that entire week, then we're not counting it. Right? What about still, Yoimakama Da'askila come on, okay, but still, even on the first day that she comes to us, Litvala, we should have to have her Tovel that very day, Dilma Shemeres Yom Kineged Yoimhi, because she might have been a Shemeres Yom Kineged Yoim, she might have bled only the day before, and now, therefore, she only needs one clean day. So, maybe she doesn't. The whole point is, we're saying she doesn't know what's going on over here. So let's say, the din is that if a woman bleeds during her Yimei Ziva, during her 11 days of Yimei Ziva, if she bleeds only one day or 2 days in succession, she's called a Shemeres Yom Kineged Yoim. During that 11 days, right. So she's a Zava Ketana, also called Shemeres Yom Kineged Yoim. All she needs is one clean day. She tovels sometime during the day on that one clean day, and that's it. It could be in the morning. It could be any time during the day. Again, we said Rav Shimon would say she's still also to have relations with her husband the rest of the day. The Chacham said we don't approve of it, but you can. And then that night.
Day means 1 hour a day.
No, it means the entire day. It means that if she had bleeding sometime during the day on Sunday and sometime during the day on Monday, she needs the entire Tuesday to be clean. She needs to do a heft. She needs to do a bedikah, a heftikara before shkia on Monday night. The entire Monday night and Tuesday day has to be tahor, and then she can go to the mikveh sometime during the day on Tuesday, and then she's mutter to her husband. Yeah. So over here in this case, the first day that she comes, we should have to tovel her in case she's a shemeres yom kineged yoim. The answer is again, you're right. But bezavak dola kamari, bezavak tana lo kamari. Okay, but the braisa only wants to tell us about the tevilas that she would have to do as a result of possibly being a zavak dola. We're not getting into the ones that she might have to do as a result of being a shemeres yom kineged yoim. So again, yes, we will have to actually, in practice, Beis Din will have to have her tovel the first day she comes in case she was a shemeres yom kineged yoim, but we're not getting into that right now. But, right. Well, no, just be clear. Okay. So the Gemara says, shmami natsuai. Now that we've analyzed this braisa and taken it apart, now we can deduce three things from it. Shmamin Rav Akiva, Damin and Sforim b'Panenu. There's three shmaminas that we can see in this braisa. Number one, Shmamin Rav Akiva. We see that the author of this braisa is Rav Akiva, Damin b'Inan Sforim b'Panenu, who said, as we just said, that when a woman comes and isn't sure where she is as far as seven clean days, we have to supervise her counting. We have to count for her and supervise it for her, right? Number two, we see that specifically the Braisa is, according to the opinion of Rav Shimon, the Omar, who says, as we discussed before, Aval Ahmur Chachamim also lasses Kane, that even though the Zaba Tovel during the day on her seventh day, nevertheless the Chachamim asked her to have relations with her husband the rest of that day, Shema Tovili Day Suffolk, because there might end up being a Suffolk if she winds up bleeding later in the day, because if she sows through her whole 7 days. The third thing we see from this braisa is that both Beth Shammah and Beth Hillel hold Tevilah Bizmana Mitzvah. As soon as a woman is able to tovel, then she's required to, because that's the whole thing. Why does she need all these dozens of Tevilahs? Even according to Beth Hillel, we're saying she needs at least 35 and even more, because Tevilah Bizmana Mitzvah, as soon as she's Tahar, or even possibly Tahar, then she needs to go to the Mitzvah. So we'll talk about that 1 second. Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda had disagreed with that whole concept. He said that no, it's enough to just tovel at the end, because he says v'layamin in Tevilah Bizmana Mitzvah. He says we don't hold Tevilah Bizmana Mitzvah, and therefore we don't let her be. Hold on. So what's that law? Hold on. So therefore, according to him, let her be possibly tamei for the entire 13 weeks. Doesn't matter. At the end of it, she can go to the mikvah one time, and that takes care of everything. What is the actual halacha? Tosfos brings over here from Rabbeinu Hananel, who says the halacha is indeed Tevilah Bizmana Mitzvah. Now that would have now not like Rabbi Yehuda Yehuda. Now, that would have a couple of implications, which Tosfos says it's very hard to understand. Among others, first of all, nowadays, when we don't keep the exact thing with 7 and 11 days, we always consider whenever a woman bleeds, even if it was a tiny amount, tifas dam tachardo, we still treat her like a zavad dola, and she needs 7 full clean days. If we said tevilah bizman mitzvah, then what do you mean? On a d'oraisa level, after 7 days, she's going to be torah, so she ought to be tovling then, because tevilah bizman mitzvah. And the same thing the next night, and the same thing the following night.
So we're saying we cannot keep both.
So the Tosfos is saying, on the face of it, the fact of the matter is, we see that she doesn't tovel during the clean days that she's counting, even though the whole concept of counting these clean days is only partly the drabbanon and partly based on minhag and whatever, in case she's a zava. If you say tevilah bizman mitzvah, how does that work? So there, of course, the Tosfos says that no. What it is the halacha is tvila bizmana is not mitzvah, like Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yehuda. Now, that has a number of nachkiminas. Number one, as you said, it means that if a woman's husband is out of town, most of the poskim agree with Tosfos on that. So they say, in that case, if her husband is out of town, for example, she's not actually required to go to the mitzvah on the night that she's on the night.
No,
it's not a side question. It goes to the heart of tvila bizmana mitzvah.
No, he's still out of town. Let's say he is in town.
Well, then she should tovel bizmana because they're you're not...
End?
Well, as soon as possible in order for her to be mutter to her husband, because you don't want to interfere with her. You don't want
to
interfere with
her. Do it like Rabbi Yossi at the end of the session week?
According to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, given that there's only one time during this whole time that she could possibly be mutter to him anyway, namely the night of the 35th, so fine, according to him, let her go to the mikveh then, and then she'll be mutter to her husband, and then after that she can tovel again another time at the end of all the weeks. So that's one thing. So that's one consideration, is if he's out of town. Another thing that comes out of this question of tevilah bizman mitzvah or not is the question, what if a woman's mikveh night comes out on Tisha B'Av or on Yom Kippur? As far as being mutter to her husband, it's a moot point. You anyway also in tashmish mitzvah. If you were to say tevilah bizman mitzvah, right, you would still say she has to go to the mitzvah. However, since most of the poskim accept that tevilah bizman is not mitzvah, then we say no. She doesn't. The fact is, you're also to bathe on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur. Tevilah bizman is not mitzvah. Therefore, let her go the night after.
One second. You cannot deduct from Tisha B'Av that.
If we said tvila bizmana mitzvah, then that would override Tisha B'Av. Yes. In fact, you have, as a matter of fact, you have Gemaras elsewhere. You have Gemaras elsewhere in Shas that say that the expression is there, kol chayvei tvila tovelin kedarkon. Anybody who is required to tovel can tovel normally on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur because they're required to. However, I don't remember where those Gemaras are exactly, but whatever it is, but the Rambam explains that's only in those times when they had Truma and Kodshim and such like to deal with.
Oh, okay.
So therefore, but nowadays, where we don't have Truma and Kodshim, and so therefore Tevila Bizmana is not a mitzvah, the only purpose of Tevila nowadays is to make her mutter to her husband. Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur, she's anyway also to her husband, so therefore... Right.
Okay, that's an important matter.
You don't eat
Truma on Yom Kippur. Yeah, you don't eat it, but you can still handle it.
You
can still handle it, though, and you could be feeding it to kids and whatever. Yeah. Okay, fine.
We don't have it today.
That's the point. So therefore, if we said Tevilah Bizmana is not mitzvah, then we would say, still, you can't tovel on Tisha B'Av or on Yom Kippur. It's not a mitzvah. That will override them. If you say Tevilah Bizmana mitzvah, then that mitzvah would override them. But because Tevilah Bizmana is not mitzvah, Because that's the halacha. Because again, kol chayv tevila tovelin kedarkon. But that halacha applies That halacha only applies even when we would say kol chayv tevila tovelin kedarkon would only apply when you're actually accomplishing something with it besides being mutter to your husband, namely truma v'kodashim. Mishnah says, hamapelas l'yomem. If a woman miscarries on the 40th day. 40th day from what? Rashi explains since she toveled. The Rambam explains since she had relations with her husband. Whatever the point is, it takes 40 days for a baby to form, to be formed to the minimum degree that it should be considered a baby and make her tummy later. So therefore, Ein Chesheshes Lavlad, she doesn't have to be concerned that there was a baby, because even if she was actually pregnant, the baby is not developed enough yet until 40 days have passed from the conception, and therefore she's not tummy later. So she doesn't have to worry about anything. If blood came out with it, obviously she's going to be telling me about that, but otherwise, nothing to worry about.
5 weeks and 5 days?
Yeah, from conception. And, you know, nowadays, where they usually count from the last menstrual period, then it would be where it would be 7 weeks and five, but yeah. Okay. This distinction saying, by the way, before and after 40 days has relevance in other areas of halacha also. It has, there's slightly different rules when it comes to abortions between before and after 40 days. There's more of a heter before 40 days because then it's not considered a baby yet. Okay. Anyway.
40 days
from conception.
That's
what I think.
We don't know when it is.
That's why Rashi says over here with Tvilasa. She obviously can't have conceived the baby before she tovel, because then she was still Tomei and off limits to her husband. So therefore, if she miscarries exactly on the 40th day from her Tvila, that we had a few days ago, we had Shmuel saying that he looked at the baby, he was able to determine exactly how developed it was. Fine, the point still remains that if she knows when she tovel and she miscarries exactly 40 days after that, then there's no question it's not a baby. But if it's on the 41st day, now you have a suffix. Was it fully formed or not? Keep in mind, it does take a couple of days. Not it does. It could. The Gemara is going to talk about in the next paragraph. It could take a couple of days after they have relations for fertilization to take place. It can take up to 3 days. So therefore, fertilization. It can happen that they have relations, but the fertilization doesn't always take place right then. It could be she hasn't ovulated yet. It could be that, whatever. Okay, that's
infinitesimal amount of
growth. Maybe infinitesimal, but the fact is there is that possibility. For one thing, she may not have ovulated yet. It is possible for her
36. 3 days after ovulation?
The sperm is viable for a certain amount of time after... As far as halacha is concerned, it's possible up to 3 days after having relations, it's still considered viable. That is why, actually, you have the whole concept of, we actually have in that connection, the whole concept in the Gemara and Shabbos has a whole sugya about why they needed 3 days of preparation before Matan Torah. Because since during the 3 days themselves they had to keep apart, Al Tigshu Alisha, but you could have within 3 days before that, not pregnant, but they may have had relations before that, during the first 3 days after that, if Zera comes out of her, Poilet Shechva Zera it's called, Perletta Shechva Zera, then she will be Tomei because that Zera is still viable at that point. Therefore, she would be Tomei when it comes to Matan Torah. Therefore, they need 3 days preparation. And that is also the basis of why we have nowadays, I believe we're going to talk about later in the Masechta, this is why we have nowadays that usually you have to have a minimum of 5 days before she even starts counting the 7 clean days, right? We said, what are we learning? What are we learning in chassam classes? We learned that let's say, for example, a woman's last day of first or last, whatever, or her last day of bleeding, let's say, is a Sunday. We said that she has to then count Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Oh, no, check. If she bleeds, let's say she starts bleeding on Sunday, let's say. So we said you have to have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Even if she only bled on Sunday, let's say, we don't say Monday she can already start her 7 clean days. We have to wait 5 full days, and only then does she start counting her 7 clean days.
5 days.
So those 5 days, it's based on this matter, based on this idea about the Zera being viable for 3 days, and you also have the detail over there. What if she had relations Bein HaShemasha?
2 other days.
That's what I'm saying. No, that's the point. The reason why you have extra time is because in case they had relations, Bein HaShemashas, and therefore you have, and then the 3 days also are three days of 24 hours each. So if they had relations, let's say, in the middle of the day on Sunday, then the 3 days run until the middle of the day on Wednesday. So you have already 4 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then the fifth is in case they had relations, Bein HaShemashas. In case they had relations, Bein HaShemashas, then it's a suffix which day it was. Okay, anyway. So in this case, again,
she knows that she didn't have that.
Doesn't matter. Once the takana was made that she has to wait 5 days, then we say 5 days regardless. What we do have is that only applies in particular to, I mean, I don't want to get too far into it because it's way off topic over here, but one thing is when it comes to a b'sula, then we make an exception. The Maharal writes, and it's accepted by halacha, that by b'sula we only do 4 days. One thing is in order to demonstrate that we know that she's not tamei, that we know that in general a b'sula is not tamei nida. She's tamei because we're not sure about the situation with the dam b'sulim. There might be dam chimud or whatever mixed in with it, but it's unusual enough that they're going to have relations, bein hashmashes, punk, the first time after they get married, that we're not gozer that in that case. So therefore we leave it at 4 days. And number two, also, that if you have, and sometimes it happens, sometimes you have a woman ovulates early in her cycle, and then by the time it comes 12 days after she started bleeding, then it's too late already, or she ovulated too long ago, and she's not going to be able to get pregnant. They have such a thing, so such things happen sometimes. So then what can happen is, the halacha is this 5 days is only if she and her husband were, if there was a time during the previous month where she and her husband were allowed to have relations. if the entire previous month she had been tama and off limits to her husband, then you don't need the 5 days because the whole 5 days is only because of Pelata Shrit Mazera. So sometimes Rabbanim therefore will recommend to a couple in such a situation that what they should do is 1 month the woman should skip mitzvah. Huh? Then that way the following month, so they don't need to wait 5 days. As soon as she finishes bleeding, after a day or two, whatever it is, then she can right away start the 7 clean days, and that way they have a chance of getting in before her ovulation. Okay. Anyway. Fine. So the point is, anyway, that if she miscarried on the 40th day, then it's not formed yet.
What's ovulation
again?
What?
Ovulation means that she produces an egg. That she produces that egg, comes out of her ovaries, and now it's available to be fertilized. So anyway, so yeah, but it can take up to 3 days for it to be fertilized. Okay. So the Yom Mem Aleph, if she miscarries on the 41st day, so we don't know, did it get fertilized right away and that it's already developed enough to be considered a baby or not? Therefore, Tesha Lazakha will Nakeva will Nida, therefore she has to consider that she's Sopik Tomei of Zachar, Nakeva, and Nida. Now, we have to figure out, if she's Tomei 7 days for Nida anyway, then what does it matter whether we're considering a Zachar, which is to say Nakeva will Nida? The Gemara is going to deal with that point. In other words, we understand what it means l'nekeva, it means that she has 14 days of tumah. We understand what it means l'nida, is that she doesn't have yimei tohar at all, because if there was no baby, then there's no yimei tohar. What's the relevance whether there was a zohar or not? If it was a zohar, it would be exactly the same thing. So we'll see in the Gemara what the relevance is of mentioning zohar at all. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. He says, Yom Mem Aleph Keshav L'Zachar L'Nekeva U'L'Nida. He says, if she miscarried on the 41st day, then she only has to consider the possibilities that it was a boy or that she's Nida. In other words, that it was a boy or that there was no baby at all, and therefore she's Nida. Yom Pei Aleph Keshav L'Zachar L'Nekeva U'L'Nida. But if she miscarried on the 81st day, says Rabbi Shmuel, then she does need to consider the possibilities, boy, girl, or Nida. Why? Because Rabbi Shmuel says, Shah Zachar Nigma L'Mem Aleph V'Nekeva L'Pei Aleph. He says, a boy, it takes 40 full days for it to be formed to the point where it's considered a baby. And a girl, he says, it takes 80 days. So therefore, only on the 41st day of a boy, or only on the 81st day for a girl, is it formed enough to be considered a baby. According to him, in other words, the formation of a girl until the point where, of a girl embryo to the point where it can be considered a baby, la halacha, takes longer than for a boy. We'll see in the Gemara why he says that. Chacham say nothing of that. Both boys and girls, it takes the same amount, takes the same 40 days. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Lomo huzka zachar? What's the relevance of mentioning that she may have given birth to a zachar? In the first case of the Mishnah, Teshav zachar or Nekeva or Nida. What does it care? What does it matter whether it's a zachar? Eli may truma. You're talking about she has a suffix as far as the Eli may truma. Hokatani nekeva. We already have a girl is a possibility in the mix. You already have 14 days of truma. That includes within its possible 7 days of truma. That's the point, but it's not relevant. The Eli may tara, and if you're saying to be machmir that she shouldn't have Yimei tara of a boy, she doesn't have Yimei tara anyway. Hokatani nida. We said that she has to be a suffix whether she's a nida, so therefore she has no Yimei tara at all. So how is a boy relevant? The answer is she imtira yom lamadalid. Yes, but suppose that she has a flow of blood on the 34th day after the birth. The tachlo v'tira yom member echad, and then a week later she again has bleeding on the 41st. What happens is tehemako kelas ad memches. Now she's messed up until the 48th. What does that mean? It means like this. Let's say she had let's in the normal case where a woman has a boy. So she has 33 yimei tahara, right? So only at the end of the four, only at any bleeding during that last 33 days doesn't count. What happens if she bleeds on the 41st? She's a nigger. That's the beginning of a new nigger cycle. What happens? No, in a regular case, a woman has a boy, mazel tov, we're having a shalom zachar, everything, and the din is for she has 7 days of tumah and 33 days of yimei tahara.
From the beginning of the
From the actual birth.
Right.
From the actual birth. So she had the baby Rosh Chodesh Nissan, so she has 7 day Aleph through Zion Nissan, she's Tomei, whether it was bleeding or not. Ches Nissan through Yud Ear, she has Yemei Tara. Any bleeding during that time, she's still Mutter to her husband. After that, then the next day, Tes Ear, she brings her Korbanos, and beginning from that day, if she bleeds on that day, which is the 41st day from the birth, then she'll be a Nida. And then what would have happened if a week after that she bleeds again? That's already the beginning of her Yemei Ziva. Because there's 7 days of Yemei Nida and then 11 days of Yemei Ziva. Now what happens in this case over here? Now that's all if she had a boy. And on the other hand, if she had no baby at all, and what happens? She bleeds on Tess ear. She's a nidda. One second. So she didn't have a boy at all. Whenever she bleeds, she's going to be a nidda, right? Whenever she next bleeds, she's going to be a nidda. So therefore, in this case, so she had this miscarriage on Rosh Chodesh Nissan. We don't know whether it was a boy or a girl, or whether it wasn't even developed enough to be a baby at all. So now, okay, so she's tomei. We don't know. So fine. So we said, as far as you made tumah, we said 2 weeks. So she's tomei from Aleph through your Dalet, no matter what. Then, now, what happens is, suppose she were to bleed on the 34th day from this miscarriage. So 30 days of Nissan and 4 days of Iyar, so she bleeds on the 4th of Iyar. If she had a boy, no problem, it's during the Yemei Tahara. If it's during a girl, also it's during the Yemei Tahara. If there was no boy and no girl, then she's a nidda, right? Now, what happens if a week later, your Aleph year, which is the 41st day since the miscarriage, now she bleeds again. So now we have a number of possibilities. If she had a boy, then the 34th was still during her Yemei Tahara, and the 41st is the beginning of Nidah. If she had a girl, then both the 34th and the 41st are during the Yemei Tahara. And if she had neither, then the first one is Nidah, and the second one makes her a Zavah. So therefore, Tehema Kokelos Ad Memches. So now she's messed up until the 48th. She can't go to the mikveh and be mutter to her husband until the 48th, because in case the 41st made her a zava, in case the 41st made her, if we knew that the 41st made her a Zava, then she only needs one clean day after it. She's only a Shemer Siyam Tenei Gidyon. But we don't know. She might have had a boy, and then the one that came on the 34th is nothing. It's part of Yemei Tayar. The 41st made her a Nidda, and if she's a 44th made her a Nidda, then she's Tommy through the 47th. So therefore, that's why she's messed up until the 48th. She can't. She's off limits to her husband until the 48th. Until the end of the 47th, right now. So the 48th night. So that's the reason. That's the reason why we have to mention the possibility that there was a zacher. If we knew that it's only either nekeva or nida, then there wouldn't be a problem over here. Because then, no matter what, either she had a girl, and then this is all within Yemei Tahara, and she's mutter anyway, or she had nothing, and then the first one made her nida, the second one made her shemer siyam kineged yom, and she only has one clean day. The fact that there could be a zacher here in the mix is what makes it that now she has the possibility after the 41st that she needs 7 full days.
Could
have been a zacher in the cave, or nothing.
The initial event?
The initial event we're talking about could have been a zacher.
And if it was a zacher in the initial event?
Then we're saying she has 40 days, she has 7 and 33, so she has the 40th day is the last day of her Yemei Tahara. Therefore, the 34th day still is within that. The 41st day when she bleeds makes her a nidda, and as a nidda, she needs 7 days total, because that's what it is. Shivat Yom Tehebeni Delta, from the 41st through the 47th, whether she bleeds during that time or not. Only on the night after the 47th can she go to the mikveh. So that's what we're saying. And the Gemara says, by the way, a similar thing is true when it comes to a girl. Let's say, for example, if we go according to Rabbi Shmuel, not according to Rabbi Shmuel, because according to him, you never have a case of suffix, mekeva, something, suffix, nothing. But let's say there were a case where a woman has a suffix, whether she had a girl or whether it was nothing, you have a similar thing. Same thing. If she bleeds then on the 74th day, and then again on the 81st day, same thing. Then again, she's messed up until the 88th for the same reason, because that 74th day could be part of her Yemei Tahara. Normally, she has 80 days for a girl, but here, because there's a suffix, whether there was a girl or not, we don't know. Was the 74th during her Yemei Tahara, and the 81st makes her nidda, or is it the 74th was nidda, and the 81st is Zavakana, that is. So therefore, yeah, same thing. So that's why it's important to mention that she have a suffix of Zohar and Mekeva and Nidah, because in that scenario, she would have a suffix. Okay. Then we said, Rabbi Shmuel Omer Yemem Aleph Teshuv L'Zohar L'Nidah. We said Rabbi Shmuel had said that boys did take, that boy embryos take 40 days to develop, and girls take 80. Tanya, we learn in Braisa, so where does Rabbi Shmuel get this from? Rabbi Shmuel Omer, like this. Tine v'tihir v'zohar, v'tine v'tihir v'nekeva. We find the Torah says a certain amount of time of Tumah v'tahara after a boy is born, and a certain amount and a larger amount, a longer, 80 days after a girl is born. Ma ketine v'tihir v'zohar v'tirotekei yetzibay. So Rabbi Shmuel says like this. When it comes to a boy, the total amount of time of Tumah v'tahara is equal to the number of days in which the baby is formed. 40 days that takes for the baby to be formed, enough to be considered a baby, la halacha, and 40 days afterwards, after the birth, that she has a tumah v'tahara. Therefore, by the same, so for a girl, you have 80. After Timothy, the Tiamat, Nikkei, the Yisrael, the Kriyasaba. So he says the same thing. Since by a girl, the Torah tells us that the total of Yemei Tumah V'Tahara is 80 days, then it must be, that must be, that it takes 80 days. Because if you have the equivalence by a Zohar, then you have the equivalence of a
Tahara. No, not between Zohar and Nikkei, but between...
Between Yitzira and Tumah. Amru Loi, so the Chachamim answered him, no good. Ein lamedin yitzira mitumah. You can't do that. You can't derive the number of days it takes for a baby to form from tumah. One has nothing to do with the other. Amru Loi Rabbi Shmuel. So then the Chachamim said to Rabbi Shmuel, not only we argue against you and say ein lamedin yitzira mitumah, but we will actually give you an actual case history that disproves you. They told him, Maisa with Cleopatra Malchus Alexandrus. It happened with Cleopatra, the queen of Alexandria. There's the famous Cleopatra in history, the one that the, maybe it is, maybe not. She was actually the seventh one of that name.
She wasn't Jewish.
No, we're not talking about that. She wasn't, but that's not the point. We're going to say something that she did.
Right.
So whether it's the famous one, whether it's the famous one with Julius Caesar and all, maybe, maybe not. There were seven queens. She was, but she wasn't the only Cleopatra queen of Egypt. She's just the most famous one. She was the seventh one of that dynasty. The name, the Ptolemies of Egypt ruled the Ptolemies. They ruled Egypt for about 300 years after Alexander the Great. They were ethnically and culturally they were Greeks, right? They ruled over Egypt. But yeah, they intermarried only among themselves, whatever. But anyway, she was actually the seventh one of that name. The famous Cleopatra of history is actually the seventh one. So there were other queens named Cleopatra. Atari is different. That's Atari with a title. But no, here you had, the same way as you have, the same way as you have George the First and George the Second and George the Third and, and other dynasties. Yeah, the same way. You had it here. Then. Okay.
So
maybe it's the famous Cleopatra, maybe not. I don't know, whatever. Some Cleopatra was queen of Alexandria.
Right.
She had maidservants that were liable to the death penalty. For whatever reason, they were liable to the death penalty. We don't know. So they examined them. Because they were going to be killed anyway, they decided to use them for experiments. This kind of thing of using people for experiments like that is not a new thing of the Nazis. You can see that Cleopatra did that also. So she took the opportunity. She had them have relations with 40 days ahead of time. Then on the 40th day, on the 40th or 41st day, whatever, they executed them and then they cut them open and they found They found one of them had been pregnant with a boy, one with a girl, and they were both formed enough to be considered a baby on the 41st day. So the Chacham said to Rabbi Shmuel, so what do you mean a girl is only fully formed after 81 days? Amalahem, so Rabbi Shmuel tells them, I'm bringing you a proof from Torah and then you're bringing me a proof from the fools. Hey, he brought them a proof. He considered it a valid proof. But you're bringing me a proof from Shoykin. So first of all, we have to figure my Raya and Atoda. What does he mean by Raya and Atoda? Elay Matir and Timur Matir Bazakh and Timur Matir and Akebahullah. Does he mean his comparison between Tumah and Yasira? What do you mean? How come he's aimed on Yasira and Tumah? The Chacham just told him, we don't like that. He can't still be telling them you should accept that. The reason rather why Rabbi Shmuel says by a girl it's longer, Omakra Taylor, because by a girl, the Torah doesn't just say, after the Torah is introduced, what happens if she has a boy, 7 and 33 days, the Torah could have just said the Imnakeva. Instead it says the Imnakeva Taylor, if she gives birth to a female. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel says, so therefore the Torah is adding something extra to the birth of a girl, namely that the formation of a girl takes longer. So therefore, once it's longer, then we should assume that it's similar to the Yemei Tumah. Whereas the Chachamim disagree with that. Okay, because once we have that, so according to him, it takes 80 instead of 40. 80 days is for the girl. Double the amount of time. Yeah, the same way as the days of Tumah. Right? Okay, so that's his Raya Menachar. No, instead, again, by a boy you have total from the birth until she's finished with Tumah V'Tahara is 40 days. By a girl, it's 80 days. So therefore, he's saying the same thing for me. So my raya min ashokim, what does he mean when he's saying you bring a raya from the pool? Yeah. The answer is Eman Nekeva Kodim V'Yabra Aboyim Kamezacher. The one who was pregnant with the girl might have become pregnant 40 days before the one who became pregnant with the boy. And not necessarily did they both become pregnant at the same time. So V'Rabbanan, what would the Rabbanan answer to that? they would say it's not a raya mina shoytim because sama de nachtash, you know. What Cleopatra did before she started this experiment of hers, she had them drink some kind of potion that makes them miscarry. So even if they were carrying a baby before, that would have been the end of it. Yeah. However, Rabbi Shmuel, what does Rabbi Shmuel answer to that? He says, nevertheless, I don't accept that as a valid proof. There are some bodies that don't accept this kind of sam. In other words, some people are impervious to this kind of thing. So just to
fight it off.
Yeah, some people have the ability, their body has the ability to fight it off. So she gave them some kind of potion to make them miscarry. But Rabbi Shmuel was saying, so therefore, in other words, so the Chachamim are saying, so she did her experiment very carefully to make sure that they weren't pregnant from before. She had them drink this abortifacient to make them abort anything that they were carrying from before. Then she had them have relations. Then 40 days later, she executed them. She found one has a boy, one has a girl, and therefore, yes, so the Chachamim are saying, so it's not Minash Shoytim, it's a valid proof. But Rabbi Shmuel was saying, not necessarily, just because she gave them something to make them miscarry, not necessarily did it have the effect. One of them, some people it has an effect on, some people it doesn't. Now Rabbi Shmuel says, you're bringing proofs from Cleopatra, I'll also bring one. Mice is a Clactera Malchus Yuvonis. It happened with Clactera, Cleopatra, whatever, the Greek queen. Again, ethnically and culturally, she was Greek, yeah. She is Chaybush Chesea HaRigula Malchus. Some of her maidservants were liable to the death penalty by the government. And they checked them, and they found They found, after they had executed them, they checked, and they found that one of them was carrying, no, perhaps this is a different story. One of them, they found, was carrying a boy, and it took 41 days, and the other one, in the previous one, the one that the Chachamim were bringing the proof from, they said she made sure they became pregnant at the same time. Here, Rabbi Shmuel was saying, no, they became pregnant 40 days apart. One 80 days before she was executed, the other one 40 days before she was executed. One's carrying a boy, one's carrying a girl, and it turns out that they're both at the same stage of development when they were executed, so you see, it takes longer. Amrulai, so now the Chachamim answered to him, the same answer as he answered to them, Ein mevin raya min hashoytim, you can't bring a raya from fools. My time, or what do you mean, how is it foolish? Because what's the problem? Because hach din akeva iyatra boin yoimid v'hadur iyabar. Because
language to speak
of, he's saying to them, Ein mevin raya min hashoytim. He's not saying you're shoytim. He's saying these people are clear pathways. No. That's not what he's saying. But it could very well be that the one who was carrying the girl didn't become pregnant right away when she had them have relations. She only became pregnant 40 days later. So therefore, it comes out both the boy and the girl have only had 40 days of development. Iyatra means extra. Or Tabach changes it to itrach. It was delayed. Like this, Cleopatra had them have relations, let's say, both on January 1st, figuring that then, the Chachamim are saying the experimental setup was she's going to have one of them on January 1st and the other one on February 9th or whatever, which are 40 days apart. Then she's going to execute them in the middle of March or whatever, and then we're going to see, et cetera. But Rabbi Shmuel is saying not necessarily because one of them had relations on January 1st and later on was found to be carrying a girl. She didn't necessarily become pregnant then. She had relations again on February 9th, and then she became pregnant. So what would Rabbi Shmuel answer that? He would say, L'shemim Asrinu. She put him under guard to make sure that nobody else had relations with them other than the time when she wanted them to. V'Rabbanan, and what would Rabbanan answer to that? They say, still, it's the Rayim and Ashotim. Ein apotrupos la'arayis. There's no watchman when it comes to arayis. You can never depend on a watchman for that. Ein ashoma gufa ba'alei. The watchman himself might have had relations with her, yeah. And Tosfos points out, what if the watchman himself was a sodis, or what if it was a woman? Okay, but they could have allowed somebody else to sneak in and have relations with her. Yeah. Okay, so the question is, anyway, the Duma Ikra'u Lahach in a cave of Avoyin Bechad have Meshach Chazachar. Like this, Rabbi Shmuel is saying that when they cut open the women, they found one of them is carrying a boy and one is carrying a girl, and the girl was developed after 81 days, so we see it takes 80 days. So how do we know? And if they had cut her open 40 days earlier, they also might have found that's developed enough to be considered a baby. The answer is, Omar Abai b'simonehen shoven. What happened was, Rabbi Shmuel is saying, when they cut open these women, they found both babies were at the same stage of development. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel is saying, if we assume they actually became pregnant when Cleopatra wanted them to, then you have a valid proof because the girl is only at a certain stage of development after 80 days, which the boy had reached after only 40 days. But the Chum tell them it's not a valid experimental setup because they ain't apotropos la'arayis. By the way, the Rishwa points out that given that one of these stories shows that they both develop after 41 days, and the other one says that 140 and 180 days, obviously, therefore, one of the experiments must have been invalid. So the Shmuel and the Chachamim are just arguing which one was set up correctly and which one was not. So therefore, each of them can use the expression to the other, Ein Mevi'in Ra'im and Ashotim, because each one can say, the one that I'm trying to bring a proof from was set up validly to make sure that the experiment works out the way it's supposed to, and the other one that you're trying to bring a proof from, there's a flaw in it because they didn't make sure that the potion is going to actually affect this woman, or because they didn't take care of it.
If they were at the same stage, then how can they... What?
The Gemara's question, the flaw is, again, in the first case where they both came out to be the same stage of development at 40 days, Rabbi Shmuel is arguing that the Rayim and Ashotim, because not necessarily is the potion that she gave them ahead of time to make them miscarry, whatever they're carrying before, not necessarily did that affect one of the women. And in the other one, where Rabbi Shmuel says one of them was developed to a certain stage after 40 days and the other one after 80, the Chum are saying, Ein Mevi'in Ra'im Ashotim, because they haven't made sure that they only had relations with the man that they were supposed to. They may have also been promiscuous with somebody else. Yeah. Okay. So that's what Rishpa says. That's the point. Since the two experiments came out with opposite results, so both Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim can say to each other, I hold that the one that I'm bringing the proof from was done validly and the other one was done stupidly, and the other one will say the other way around.
But what gives us that they're going by idea try check this out?
It's a good question, but, you know, in particular, since we mentioned that she was the queen of Alexandria in those days was like, you know, you had all the great Greek scientists in those days were in Alexandria. It was like the MIT of the ancient world or something, you know. So maybe they were interested in this kind of thing. How long does it take a baby to develop? And then therefore, I guess, you know, maybe they asked Cleopatra, you anyway have people, you're going to be executing. Let's do some experiments.
Or a chance to discuss it with
the... It's also possible to discuss it with the Hamid. Yeah,
that's
yes.
What would be that, even that would be different?
Maybe, I don't know. Could be. All right. Okay, then we said the Chachamim say, not like Rabbi Shmuel, both boys and girls, it takes 40 days to be formed to that point. So the question is, Chachamim Hainu Tanakama. The Chachamim are saying the same thing as the Tanakama of our Mishnah. The Tanakama had said she miscarries on the 41st day, Teshav Lazachar on the Kevel Anita. The Chachamim at the end of the Mishnah are saying the same thing.
Yeah, I'm sorry for the break. Based on what we just learned before, why is that? Everyone
gives
birth to 9 months.
So I think the Chassam Sofer says the vote is because even if we say, like Rabbi Shmuel, that it takes a girl longer, the initial development, but then she catches up faster. I'll bet it, like you have. Listen, you know, we know after kids are born, girls grow up faster than boys do, right? Girls become mature at 12, boys at 13. So, yeah. Okay, so the question is, Chachamim Hainu Tanakama, aren't the Chachamim saying the same thing as the Tanakama? They're both saying that both boys and girls, it takes 40 days for the initial development. V'chitema, so you might answer the reason why the Mishnah has to mention the Chachamim. L'mistema reisha k'rabbanon, is in order to tell us that the beginning of the Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah like the Chachamim. V'yachid v'rab malacha k'rabim, and then you would say, that then we apply the usual rule that when it's Yochid and Rabbim, the halacha is like Rabbim. In other words, that the only reason the Mishnah is saying the Chachamim Omim is to tell us that the initial Chachamim are actually, it's not just one opinion, it's not just one Tana, it's all of the Chachamim, and therefore that the halacha should be like them. So the question is, what do we need that? Isn't that obvious? Of course, Yochid v'Rabbim, halacha k'Rabbim. We don't need to say the Chachamim Omim to tell us that. The answer is still, you might have argued that maybe Rabbi Shmuel's reason is logically acceptable to come a silei kloy, because after all, he does have psukim on his side, and the Chachamim didn't tell him that we darshan those psukim otherwise. Therefore, the Mishnah wants to tell us. Therefore, Rebbe, when he set up our Mishnah, wrote it. The Chachamim aimed to tell us, nevertheless, don't worry about Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. The halacha is like the Chachamim because Yochid v'Rabim halacha k'Rabim.
Because he had Kron.
Because even though he had Kron on his side, nevertheless, Yochid v'Rabim trumps that.
No,
because we wouldn't have. Sometimes, yeah, it's very rare, but sometimes, yeah, we pass in like a yochid when it's stabber time. It's rare, but it happens. Okay. So now we have a piece of Agadah, a famous piece of Agadah about the baby in the womb. I think, by the way, you know, I mean, with like this, the whole parak we've been talking about, a large part of the parak, we've been talking about all kinds of misshapen and misformed and miscarried and whatever babies. So I think now maybe, I thought maybe what it is now the Gemara wants to point this out, that nevertheless, the fact is, the vast majority of the time, these things don't happen. The baby develops normally and is born normally. And you have to realize the amazing things that the Eved Shah does for the baby in the womb. Yeah. What is the baby like when it's inside the womb of his mother? Lepinkas, is like a notebook from a kupol umunach. It's like a notebook that's folded up in place there. Like the baby is sort of like folded up inside the womb. The Maharal says, besides the obvious meaning of it, it also means b'derech drush. It means a person should consider himself like a notebook. Everything you do is written down in Hashem's book. So you should remember that even when you're being formed first, you're like a notebook, that you're like an open notebook that your ma'asim are going to be written on. Yodav of Shteitzdav, the baby's hands are on his two temples. They're like on the sides of his head. He's holding his hands like this. Shtei Atsilov al Beza Kuboisav, his two Atsilov are on his two knees. What are Atsilov? Rashi translates Atsilov over here as his armpits. Tosfa says, on the basis of various other Gemara, it doesn't mean his armpits, it means his elbows.
No.
Atsila Yadayim is either, Rashi explains here in a number of places, means the armpit, and Tosfa says it means the elbow. Yeah.
How do you say,
Chalotzayim, you think, no. Chalotzayim means the waist.
How do you call the bones,
the person? Sela, Tzadik Lamed Ayim. This is Asil, Tzadik Lamed. Different Turkish. Okay. His two heels are on his two buttocks. The roshe munach leben dirkov. His head is between his knees. His buttocks, his rear end, the toughest.
That's where his feet is.
That's his feet are folded up. His feet are folded up so that his heels are touching his buttocks.
Well,
like that.
That's the
thing. Yeah, no, they're folded in the same way as we can fold. We being older people are less flexible.
No, I'm saying
in the womb, the baby is folded up basically like this. Upiv sosum. The Maharal also, by the way, in this Jerush mentions an interesting idea that when we say the baby's hands are on its forehead, that's like the position a person would be in when he's thinking. So the Maharal says also there's a symbolism in that a person should realize they're in this world in order to think and consider, what am I doing and am I doing the right thing? Well, that too, maybe, but yes. Kupiv sosum, his mouth is closed, meaning he's not eating through his mouth. The tabure posuach, his navel is open. And he gets through the umbilical cord. So he eats whatever his mother eats and drinks whatever his mother drinks, which is, of course, you know, why you have all these warning labels on foods and medicines and whatever nowadays, not to be taken by pregnant women. He does not defecate. He doesn't excrete. Because then he could kill his mother because there's no way for it to go out. So actually, the Marsha points out that means, in that sense, the baby in the womb is a little bit like the Jewish people in the desert eating man. They ate whatever Hashem gave them, and they didn't have to go to the bathroom.
Really? It's hard to understand a baby is being nourished, but there's no waste.
So what it is there's waste that comes out. The baby does produce urine, and that gets mixed in with the amniotic fluid. So that's not a problem. That doesn't harm anything. And as far as any other wastes that have to come out of the body, they come out through the umbilical cord. They get transformed into something that just gets excreted with the blood that goes out, that goes back and forth between the placenta and the baby.
In this cord, it has two pipes or one pipe?
The placenta, it has a couple of pipes in it. It has blood vessels. It has whatever. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a whole complex thing. Yeah.
Awesome. And the urine thing does stay there?
The baby stays. The urine stays in there. Yeah, that's the amniotic fluid includes also some urine from the baby. That's not a big deal. That doesn't harm the mother. It's not that much of it. It's not that much. It's a tiny baby, you know. The kiven shiyotza la'averhoilam, as soon as the baby comes out into the outside world, niftach hasosum nistam hapasuach, whatever was closed right away has to open, like his mouth has to start functioning. V'nistam hapasuach, whatever was open, like his umbilical cord, has to right away close up and stop functioning. Shil molekein, any yochel lichis, after the shahachas, if not for that, he wouldn't even be able to live for even a short time. In Asher Yotza, by the way, we say, if there's actually a machlokas rishonim, and you can find to this very day in Nusach Ashkenaz versus Nusach Sfarad and Nusach Ari Sidurim, whether we say the line Afilu Shah Echos. Some of the rishonim say, starting from Aram Rutenberg, say we shouldn't say in the bracha Afilu Shah Echos. Because what do you mean? If a person, if a person can keep their mouth closed for several hours, not going to kill them. But what do you mean that a person wouldn't be able to stay in front of Hashem if something that's supposed to be open was closed for even a short amount?
Assuming that their nose is open.
Fine, but still, so the Maharam Rutenberg says on that basis you shouldn't say Afkhilo Sholachos, and in Nusach Ashkenaz to Durim. In fact, they don't. They just say Yafkhilo Skangolam of the Panacha. On the other hand, other Rishonim and Achronim, the Taz, for example, points out that no, what we mean in the Bracha, primarily, we're talking about, for example, that there are parts, that there are things in the body that have to stay open, like, for example, your blood vessels, the bowels of your heart have to stay open in the proper direction, all kinds of other things have to stay open, and if they don't, then you can't live Afkhilo Sholachos, and the same thing, things that are supposed to stay closed. We don't mean things like the mouth or whatever. We mean other parts of the body. And here also in our Gemara, by the same token, we're saying that the baby's mouth doesn't start functioning right away. So if it's a nurse and then its umbilical cord doesn't stop functioning right away, then it's not going to be able to live for very long. Okay. So this is all, again, this is all to stress to us the amazing things that Eivishter does with a baby. Yeah. The ner dolok loyarosh. Meanwhile, when the back when the baby is in the womb, there's a candle, a light burning over his head, which is in the shama. But sofo mabit misofo olam bad sofo. With that, the baby is able to see from one end of the world to the other. Peruchnius. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Eov is complaining about the good old days versus what he's suffering now. So he says, v'hiloi nerei alei roshi. When his lamp, Hashem's lamp, was shining above my head. In Chassidus, by the way, in thousands of places, it talks about the idea that Hallel, like Hallel that we say on Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh, and Yom Tov, whatever is related to this word, Behiloi Nerei. Now, when do we say Hallel? Behiloi means when it shone, when it illuminated. So Hallel, particularly, we say when we see a special illumination of Elokus in this world, is when we say Hallel. Same Shem Hashem.
Behiloi is two lovers.
Yeah, but still the same Shem Hashem. So he says, Behiloi Nerei Alei Rosh, when his lamp shone above my head, La'orei Eilech Choshech, that then I would be able to go by his light in the darkness. So therefore, so we see that there's a lamp, a light burning above the baby's head. The altis, man, don't be surprised. What do you mean the baby's able to see from one end of the world to the other? Shari odam yoshin kan v'roya chalayim b'asbamya. After all, a person can be sleeping here, let's say in Eretz Yisrael, and see a dream of something that's taking place in Spain. But the same way as in a person's dreams, you can see asbamya is Spain. But the same way as a person in his dreams can see something.
Asbamya?
Yeah, whatever. It's close enough now. The Eimach Yomim Sha'odim Shori B'Toyva Yosim Ha'Otan Yomim. So there's no days throughout a person's whole existence when he's in a better condition than he is in those times in the womb. Shenema, it's the same part as the previous pasuk. Eov says, Mi Yitneni Kiyavche Kedem. If only somebody who Halavai, somebody could give me the ability to be like I was in the earlier month. Kinei Alekai Yishmeni, like the days when Hashem protected me. Now, what do I mean, kiyarche kedem, like a month and before, the ezer yamim, sheyesh behem yirochem, ve'en behem shanim, when do we have days that consist only of months and not of years? Heveyem, the yarche later. This is 9 months in the womb. It doesn't amount to a full year. So you count it in months. Umalamdin oise kol ha-Torah kula, in the womb the baby is taught the whole Torah, shenema, as it says in the passage, vayereini, vayomer, shlomam, it says, vayereini, he taught me. And he said to me, Yismas dvarei libecha, my words, your heart should hold them fast. Shmur mitzvosei v'chiyeh, keep my mitzvahs and you'll live. But Omer, and you have another pasuk also from Eov, in that same complaint of Eov, the soid eleka alei oli, when I had the secret of Hashem in my tent, the secret of the Torah, in other words, that he was being taught. So the Gemara says, "My va'omer, why do we need two pesukim? The first pasuk should be enough because v'chitema. You might argue, Navi Hudikamar. The first pasuk v'yireini v'yomerli is not necessarily Shlomo talking about what happened before he was born. It could mean after he was born, when he became a Navi, that Hashem taught him and told him and reminded him to keep the mitzvahs. So therefore, we need the second pasuk, Toshma b'tzoda l'kal le'om. And since the previous pesukim there in Eov are talking about when he's in the womb, so we understand that one is also." What's the point of having him taught the whole Torah? Well, 1 second. But Kibin Shabbala Avra Olam Bom Malach the Sotter up here. As soon as he comes out into the world, the Malach comes and slaps him on the mouth. Or Meshachta Kol HaTorah Kula, and makes him forget the entire Torah. Shenema LaPesach Chasas Roivet, as it says in the Pesach, by the entrance, by the entrance, when a person is entering into the world, sin is. For 1 second. Well, hold on. So sin is crouching over there. In other words, right away, he's forgetting the Torah, and he has the possibility of going the wrong way. So why is he taught the whole Torah? So one idea, so there's many ideas about it. One particular idea, it's mentioned in Tikkuni Zohar, it's mentioned in many places in Chassidus. Without that, a person wouldn't have the ability to learn Torah b'chlal. Torah is chochmosei ratzonei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Hashem's own will and wisdom. A human brain is going to be able to comprehend any of that. But because he was taught it in the womb and given that a sin of koyach, Therefore, even he forgets it, but now he has the ability, when he learns it again, he will remember it. It'll be like something familiar, something vaguely familiar, but at least he'll have the ability. And he'll have the ability to be able to take it into his brain, like the Alpha Deva says in Tanya, in Perakei, you learn Torah, you have your brain is encompassing the Torah, and you know, the Torah is encompassing your brain. Yichud nifla she'en kamo, it's like the kind of unity you never have anywhere else in the world. And that's made possible by the person learning the whole Torah in the womb. There's a famous.
One second. Even the goyim, when they convert, they didn't get that in the womb. How are they able to learn Torah?
They also get a new neshama. So that new neshama was at some point. When they tovel. Yeah. Actually, now that you mention it, there's an interesting idea that's brought in some sfarim that the one idea behind tevila is symbolically it's like you're being born. You're in the womb. You're surrounded by water. You're surrounded by the amniotic fluid, and then you come out into the world in the same way a person is in the mikveh, and now it's like they're reborn. So yeah, at that point they get a neshama, and that neshama, yeah.
But the neshama is not formed when they receive the Torah. How can they receive the Torah without a neshama?
Who's they? You're talking about the goy? But that's the thing.
No.
The neshama comes into the person in stages. It's a certain aspect of it comes into him even in the womb already. You have a Gemara in Sanhedrin where Antoninus and Rebbe argue about that point.
Right.
And then Rebbe concedes to Antoninus that it's already there in the womb.
Right.
Then you have another part of it comes for a boy when he has his bris milah, and for a girl right away when she's born, because Isha commanded Mehila. A later one when he becomes Bar and Bas Mitzvah. You have
so it grows with time.
But in the womb, you have, there's enough of the neshama to be able for him to learn Torah and be given that nesinas class. Okay. You have the famous story, by the way, that they tell of a kid years ago who was born in Eretz Yisrael, where once he started talking, they found he knew the whole Torah, and had to bring, Rabbi Lustig actually was here the other day and told me that his sister knows the woman who's the mother of that kid personally. The story was many, many years ago. The story was in the Yud. They ended up bringing the kid to Aaron, the Belzer Rebbe, who passed away in 1957. Rabbi Aaron, the Belzer Rebbe. Rekeach was his last name, but yeah. The baby does not come out of the womb before they make it swear.
Like it says in Tanya?
And that's what we're going to quote. The famous line from Tanya is in a couple of lines in Or Gemara when the Alter Rebbe says, Tanya b'sei per gimel d'ninda. This is it. Interesting point, by the way, now that you mention it, we started this by Dorash Reb Simloi. Reb Simloi is an Amora, so what's the Tanya? So you have, actually, there is one line of this whole thing that's quoted in Yevamah. One second. Like this, why did the Alter Rebbe begin Tanya b'seif perek gimel d'ninah? It should have been Dorash Reb Simloi b'seif perek gimel d'ninah. So first of all, there is one line of this whole thing that's quoted in Yevamah as a b'raisa. So it could be that it started out as a b'raisa and then Reb Simloi expanded on it. Nevertheless, the Rebbe talks about it. It's brought in Shirim b'seif on Tanya. The deeper reason why the Alter Rebbe chose to begin with Tanya rather than Dorash Reb Simloi is because there's a type of clipper called Tanya, which particularly attacks people who try to learn Torah, and the Alter Rebbe wanted to begin his sefer with that in order to counteract that. Also, there's the idea of Tanya Osius Eson, that it speaks to the Eson, the inner toughness of the neshama, whatever. That's a long thing to discuss by Fabrengen sometimes. Okay, anyway. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Ki li sichra kol berach tishava kol loshen, the Pasuk says, Hashem says, to me, all knees will bow and all tongues will swear. So what does that mean? When it says every knee will bow to me, that refers to when a person passes away. As the Pasuk says, before him, all of those who go down to the dust will bow down. In other words, when a person passes away, they realize, even if their whole life they didn't realize, but when that person passes away, they realize that the Eivishter is the one in charge. They're made to realize that. Tishava koloshen zeyemaleidim. When it says all tongues will swear to me, that refers to it before the person is born. Shenema neki chapayim uvar leiva. As the pasuk says, the person who has clean hands and a pure heart, asher leinosel ashov nafshi, a nafshoi. You actually have a kriya ksiv over there that he didn't take my neshama or his neshama in vain. V'lo nishva lemirma, and he didn't swear for trickery. In other words, he swore this oath before he was born, and he meant it sincerely. If the person is Niki Chapayim of our labor, then obviously they did a good job, right? That's the point. That was the Pasuk is saying. The Niki Chapayim of our labor, the person who has clean hands and a pure, Niki Chapayim has pure hands, he of our labor and a pure heart, not just didn't kill, he didn't do any, he didn't do Averis. He didn't get his hands dirty or his mind dirty with any Averis. So he obviously, he learned from Mirma, his oath was definitely a sincere oath and he definitely kept it. So what is the oath that they make him swear? Here's the first line of Tanya. Be a tzaddik, don't be a rasha. V'afilu kol ha'omim kulo ha'omim l'chot tzaddik ata. And even if the entire world tells you you're a tzaddik, heye be'enecha k'rasha, be in your own eyes like a rasha. So of course, that's, we all know, that's the famous thing that drives the whole Tanya. The author have asked, what do you mean, heye be'enecha k'rasha, v'tzorech l'hovin, it says in Pirkei Alti Yerasha v'tnei Asmecha, and the author ends up explaining that k'rasha means consider yourself a beinani, that you're not going to be a tzaddik, you have to consider yourself that you're a beinani, you're always going to be fighting with your yetzahara, but nevertheless, don't actually become a Russia. There's a lot of other interesting explanations about this, by the way, including Marsha says the vote is when we tell him Heye Beinecha K'Rasha means not in your own life. Fine, in your own life, of course, don't consider yourself a Russia. I'll see Russia with an Asmacha. But consider you might be a Google of somebody who was a Russia. In that sense, consider yourself like a Russia. Consider yourself, Marsha says, like you have a lot to overcome that your neshama failed to do in its previous life. So you have a lot of work to do. And then there's another Chassidish explanation that I saw, which is, if the people tell you tzaddik asa, you on your own are a tzaddik. You got there all under your own steam. Don't heye be'enecha k'rasha. But alti rasha b'fnei atzmecha, don't actually consider yourself a rasha. Just don't think you got anywhere with your own, on your own power. You did it with Eivishter to help.
Okay. You are a rasha until you fulfill your promise.
No, you're not a Rasha. If a person actually does what he's not supposed to do, then he's a Rasha, as the Alter Rebbe talks about in Tanya. But yeah. Okay, let's finish up the piece of Gemara over here. And the Shavua also continues. The Heva Yadeya, you should also be aware, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tahor Meshoros Tahorim, that Hashem is pure, and those who serve Him, the Malachim, the Tzadikim, are pure. U'neshama Shenasim B'chot Tahorihi, the Neshama that Hashem gave you is also pure. Im Asa Meshamra B'tahara Mutav, so if you keep it pure, wonderful. The Imlav, and if not, Harini Noislam Imchad, I'm going to take it away from you. Eventually, but they take it away prematurely. In other words, Tonet Ve Rabbi Shmuel, we learn in a Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel. Moshal Koyin Shemotah Truma L'Amoret. It's a, you can compare it to a Koyin who gives Truma to an Amoret. If you keep a Torah good, V'im Lav, and he's so full of Hanecha. If not, then I'm going to bruin it in front of you because it became Tome and you can't have it anymore. So Omer Rav Elazar Maikra, Rav Elazar says, where do we see a pasuk that a person is made to swear before he's born? The pasuk is Mime'ei Imi Asher Goizi. David says in Tillim, from the womb, from my mother's womb, you are goizi. Now, what my mashma dahi goizi? What does this word goizi mean? It means lishnan di ishtabuihu. It's a lashon of swearing. Dichtiv gozi nizrech vashlichi. A pasuk says, gozi, you're nezer and throw it off. So nizrech, Rashi says in lashon nizirus. Nizirus is a type of neder, which is related to Shavua. So gosh is God. So therefore nizrech malashon nazir. And therefore, gozi implies something having to do with nezirus, therefore something having to do with the shavua. The simple meaning of it, in the pasuk Mimei Imata, gozi means that you were the one who pulled me out of my mother's womb, and gozi nizrich vashlich means cut off your beautiful hair and throw it away. But the Gemara is darshaning that there's a connection between them, and Mimei Imata, gozi, when I was in my mother's womb, you gozi, you made me swear that, like, similar to nezirus, in other words, that this whole shavua that we just said. One more thing, by the way, you know, there's a well-known Chassidish explanation that when we say mashbien oseti tzaddik, it's not just mashbien, but also mashbien, that he's ungezektik, he's filled up with, and then made and sated with the ability to accomplish what a person,
yeah,
what he needs to
do.
But that, at least, we said before, the mashbien oseti is this tzaddik falti rosha, etc. The malach takes away the knowledge of Torah, but he still leaves the ability, the reshimu of it, the fact that a person now is able to absorb Torah is the result of that. That stays. The koyach that he was given to be able to learn and be able to absorb and be able to follow Torah, that stays.
A goy could never reach a feeling of elikus even?
As long as he only has a nefesh of Bahamas, he can't really connect to elikus. The nefesh of Bahamas, by definition, it cares only about Bahamas. Yeah, it cares only
more than that.
If he becomes a ger, if he becomes a chosid or masorim, then at least instead of a nefesh of Bahamas from Shalosh Kudos Hameis, so he has a nefesh of Bahamas from Kudos Noiga, so maybe it's able to have some glimmer of course. But
it can change his nefesh bodies.
I guess so. I guess the same way as a person can change his nefesh, can change by becoming a ger. Yeah.
It's kind of continuous, right?
It continues, yeah. But it's, you know, we've been at this for 2 hours.
How far
is it? Oh, it goes till the end of the parish. It goes almost till the end of the parish. Yeah.
First time you learn Tanya, I didn't
think it was Mara. Nah, not far. But it is one of the
we've
talked about pieces. We've talked about pieces of Tanya and Gemara before. But it is one of the few places where you'll find in the Old School Gemaras where they have no problem quoting the Alter Rebbe because his answer over here of what does it mean Hey Ben Karasha is such a basic answer that you know they have to quote it. Yeah.
Happens to be the Tanya and the Shulchan Aruch.
Well, that's true also, right? The Tanya and the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Yeah, they do quote the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Yeah, they have the Shulchan Aruch extensively, yeah. So they can't not quote Tanya where it's appropriate, yeah. All right.
And Dr. Ms. Holden.